Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. End of the road for Team USA last night in Seattle. Belgium eliminated the U.S. men's national team in a 4-1 beating in their round of 16 matchup. The Americans tied things at 1 with a penalty kick in the 31st minute. Belgium responded in the 33rd, then tacked on 2 more to advance to the quarterfinals. Belgium's going to play Spain Friday at 3 in Los Angeles. The Spanish eliminated Portugal yesterday in a 1-0 match in their round of 16. It was likely the final international appearance for Cristiano Ronaldo. In NHL news Monday, the Blue Jackets signed defenseman Ryan Lomberg to a 2-year deal. 31-year-old Lomberg spent the last 2 seasons in Calgary. He won a Stanley Cup in 24 with the Panthers. In baseball, both the Reds and Guardians were off Monday. Cleveland's on the road for the next 6. They're at the Twins Tuesday. Reds are at home to wrap up their first half. They're going to host Philadelphia tonight at 7:10. All-Star games next Tuesday in Philly. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers. BMIFCU.org/consolidate.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then,
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only 2 guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
I've always maintained that in sport, really in anything, high expectations are a good thing. You shouldn't shrink or shy or run away from having high expectations. If you do, especially in sport, you're in the wrong place. Especially here in Columbus, our expectations every single season for one college football team are win the national championship. And if you're not winning the national championship, well, damn it, you better at least be competing in the national championship or in a national semifinal game. And there's nothing wrong with having those expectations every single season. It's a stark contrast to the Cincinnati Bengals and more so the Cleveland Browns, who aren't really ever competitive at anything. But for the main discussion that we've had in sport over the last couple weeks has been Team USA in the World Cup. And last night did not meet expectations that they themselves set. And that, I think, is a disappointment. What's not disappointing, Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker with you for the next 3 hours, is our guest today, Justin Zwick. Buddy, thanks so much for coming back on. Did you stay up for the entire 4-1 match last night?
I did not. I tuned in. You know, it was the first one that I actually sat down. I was like, I want to make sure I see the beginning of this game because, you know, it is exciting. So USA, I can get behind all that. But man, the scoring came quick. I'm like, whoa, like this doesn't usually happen this fast. And they're like, we tied it up. And then, you know, 2 minutes later or whatever it was, they go back up. And it's like, just didn't have a good feeling. And then, you know, kids going to bed and everything else, just that was it for me. It was 2-1 and I didn't have a good feeling about it. I was hoping for a comeback when I woke up to, you know, see everybody excited and see all the videos of people going crazy, but you know, 4-1
would have been one of the most, probably the greatest World Cup comebacks ever.
It'd have been awesome.
Coming down 3-1. Then you get to throw in my favorite sports meme, or remember in 2016 when the Golden State Warriors blew a 3-1 lead? Well, remember when Belgium blew a 3-1 lead in the World Cup round of 16? Like, you can use that for forever because this would have been one of the most successful runs for Team USA ever in the World Cup. And, well, that wasn't the case. You know, even like a minute in, I realized, Justin, that this is just different.
It looked different, yeah.
For everything Team USA did in the group stage, and I think having an expanded World Cup helped. It maybe gave the United States a little bit inflated of an expectation that they can compete on the stage with a team like Belgium or the team like Spain. You know, I watched the Spanish because my girlfriend's parents are from Spain. And so they made sure that every Spain match is on their television. And they were in town for Father's Day. And so they, and I think their final group stage match played Saudi Arabia. and you're watching the Spaniards in Saudi Arabia and go, this is different. Yeah. And then even yesterday, you know, they beat Portugal in extra time, and it's just different.
Yeah, I wonder if the players know that it's different, and it was just the fans and everybody who kind of jumped in on this, like, hey, we were 4-1 in the first game. You know, we're scoring goals. Like, we belong here.
Well, it's the audacity of hope with how Team USA played in the group stage. You were given hope that this is a different Team USA than ever before, because through other World Cups, and I don't think they'd have had made it this far since 2002, but back then it was the round of 16 was the knockout stage. This, you add more teams to it because you're expanding, and who knows how many more countries they'll add to this. Like, this is the college football playoff. Like, where's it going to end? You get those inflated expectations, but I would say again, for Mauricio Pochettino and for his squad, that's a good thing. Yeah. You want people to think that you can win it all, because you need to think that. Or don't go out there.
Yeah.
Right? Do not go out there on the pitch. Don't go out there on the field. Don't go out there on the court if you don't think that you can compete with the team across the field.
Pressure is a privilege.
Right?
You know, so like, we're now putting pressure on you because you've shown us some things and we're getting excited about this and we think we have a shot. And, you know, it's been so long and it's in, you know, we're hosting. Like, it's a perfect story. You know, it just had a really bad ending last night, and it just had an ending where, like, you get into that game, yeah, you know, at this stage in the game, yes, any team can probably win, but you just want to have a competitive game where you feel like you're in it and you feel like you're competing, and you're like, if we just won, or this couple things would have happened, we'd have had that game. And then you just go into the way it went, where we're stubbing our toe trying to clear the ball and, you know, give up a goal. And, like, it just didn't look
like he didn't belong.
It didn't look good, right? So,
Reese, you have to, those players have to believe,
of course,
that they could win, because there's no way they're going to. If they don't believe they could win. I was talking to Brother Bone about this morning, and it kind of seems like, to me, after you start off the World Cup the way you do, it seems like a lot of fans kind of change the goalposts. Like, if you go into this and you say Team USA got to the round of 16, well, that would be a success.
Yeah, before it all started, be like, all right, we'll take that.
But now it seems like a disappointment almost to a lot of people. And I also understand, and I didn't watch, but I was keeping up on Twitter with stuff.
I love the commitment.
There were a lot of people that just thought the effort was poor. And I get that, because you watch your team sometimes and they just don't have it some night. And for whatever reason, there's a poor effort out there. And that's hard for fans to fathom and swallow. But Ohio State, every year, they're competing for a national championship. But I look at this past season, and going into the season, if you would have told Buckeye fans that they were going to have the season that they did, they were going to beat Michigan, their only two losses were going to be to the teams playing in the national championship game, and they would be close losses to those teams. Well, you lost 8 starters on defense, and you were starting a first-time quarterback and a freshman running back. And before the season, you would probably say, oh, that's okay. But then you go through the season, and you get to Indiana, and you lose, and you get to Miami, and you lose. And a lot of Buckeye fans feel like that's a disappointment. You should have went further in this thing. And I think it's sometimes, and I get it, it's hard to be realistic sometimes as a fan, but it seems like we just, from the beginning of the season to the end, or the beginning of a tournament to the end, sometimes we move those goalposts a little bit.
I think there's the excitement throughout the season, right? Oh, we're undefeated at the end of the year. Like, we're just running through everybody. Mm-hmm. We're just going to continue this. And yeah, there's something to that, to where if you would have asked or told them, yeah, we're going to be undefeated at the end of this year, you're going to take that? Don't know what's going to happen in the playoff, but we're going undefeated. We're going to beat Michigan. We're going to get that monkey off our back up in Ann Arbor.
You'd take it in a heartbeat.
You would have taken that in a heartbeat with a new starting quarterback, with all the guys replaced on defense.
Sure.
So, yeah, so it does happen. I mean, the fans just get going. The excitement goes, and it builds each and every week with every win. And then you feel like, oh, what a disappointment, you know, at the end of the year.
I think even, you know, before the World Cup began, we talked about what if Team USA is competitive through the 4th of July weekend. Like, how great would it be? How much will this country really grab onto USA soccer? And look, 34 million in their previous match is nothing. It isn't nothing. But I think with how they performed, coupled with the last 24 hours for the squad, where your best player, almost inarguably your best player in Flo Balogun, has to be allowed to play because of political intervention, you then kind of take place as a villain, right? We were making fun of it yesterday, like, hooray, corruption. Yeah. And then he no-shows. And Christian Pulisic no-shows and has to go off because of injury. And you have moments like where Matt Freese is looking to clear a ball and instead his foot meets the turf. And you go, well, he's an MLS goalie. And the guys
did
for
I
Belgium.
Hear right that he, was that his first start?
I don't believe it was his first start.
Early on, he got a save, and they're like, well, that's a good saving, first save or something.
The save in the first minute was incredible, and that's probably the best save he'll ever have professionally.
Okay. Maybe that's what it was.
And then
maybe
his moment in like the 56th minute where his foot meets the turf instead of the ball, probably his worst moment professionally. But it's just the difference there. So what you had wanted to do with this World Cup for Team USA, because nobody legitimately thought there was going to be a win, but was to show with Mauricio Pochettino in his first World Cup that the team would make strides to actually, to maybe compete past the quarterfinals when the World Cup hits Spain, Morocco, and Portugal. But with the showing in the last 24, 48 hours, it's hard to have confidence that that's going to be the case. Now, there's still time, but they can't fall on their face in their next set of international matches. Like, you have to take this, and you do have to show improvement the next time out. It's like for Ohio State. You know, when you lose to Michigan the way they did in 2024, it has to be, now you got to make a run. And they made the greatest run in college football history. So what you have now is opportunity. You've got to make the most of it. But I don't know, with last night, the guys on this Team USA roster are going to be the ones you want to have that.
Yeah, fans can be forgiving if they feel as if you're on that trajectory of, all right, we're starting to figure this out. I mean, it happens every year with the Blue Jackets in Columbus, right? Like, if we feel like, hey, we got really close to the playoffs last year, next year is going to be the year where we see it all come together. But you got to, you know, like you said, you got to go out and win your next one and just show them that last night was kind of a fluke. You know, like, we got to come back. All right, we didn't play our best.
Right.
Our top guys didn't show up. You know, we had some flubs with everything. The next game, all right, we're still on that track, and we're shooting for 2030, which, you know, coming into this, I feel like every soccer expert was saying there's no chance of the United States winning this thing.
And it's probably the thing you'll be saying forever. You want them to be competitive, but, you know, I go back to Erling Haaland, and he's the best athlete in Norway, or one of, at least. He's the best athlete in Norway in a sport that has a ball. Like, certainly the skiing in those Nordic countries, the incredible athletes do that. It won't be the case in America. So you can have Mauricio Pochettino with the best development and best coaching, but really, I made the comparison to T-Bone and Tyvis. It's like Rutgers and Ohio State. Rutgers can be as well coached as any team, and certainly Schiano in the mid-2000s
had
Rutgers. They were well coached, well developed. They had some talent, but consistently, Ohio State's better because Ohio State's got the talent. And that's the one thing I think with the European teams, with teams internationally and Team USA, the best athletes, the best talent, they just fixate and gravitate towards other sports.
And Bone made a great point today, and I believe that's true, because with the athlete part of it, it's not just the LeBron Jameses, the Ken Griffey Jr.
Imagine LeBron out there
the
trying
Tom
to play.
Brady's.
Be a heck of a goalie. I mean, he could almost touch the
screen. The Jeremiah Smith. It's not just those guys. It's also the guy that's playing football at Pitt that maybe could be a good soccer player. The guy that's playing at Cincinnati. Like, a lot of kids in this country just don't grow up dreaming. I mean, soccer, I think, is the biggest youth sport in the country. But they give it up because when they get to later, they want to play football, baseball. And the other point that he made is the coaching. It's just the coaching all the way up for soccer in the United States just isn't like it is in the rest of the world. And it's because a lot of people go into coaching and those other sports too, because those are the sports they played. Those are the sports they care about and know about the most. So the coaching aspect of it combined with the athlete part is a huge disadvantage.
And I'm sure most of you out there are some of you, not most, but some of you out there are like, oh, thank the Lord for no more football talk, as we're 64 days out from Ohio State, or at least from the start of the college football season. We're 1 month away from Ohio State's training camp. We'll be out there live for the Buckeyes, those training camp dates in the beginning of August. Some huge news regarding the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll explain next. Bishop and Friends.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service, because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
July 11th, we'll take you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Buckeye football history. It's Buckeye Weekly, Saturdays at 1 p.m.
Hear the games on the fan. OhioStateBuckeyes.com and on the Learfield Varsity app. Go Bucks!
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have a partly cloudy sky ahead for the rest of the day. There's a slight chance of a stray shower or storm, but most of us ought to stay dry with highs in the mid-80s. Overnight, partly cloudy skies, patches of fog once again with lows in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, partial sunshine, a little warmer, upper 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. 10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Eric Reeser, Justin Zwick, Ryan Baker with huge news regarding the Cleveland Cavaliers. And we're still on LeBron watch.
Yeah, it's so not the news you think.
It's not that. This is from Sham Sharania. Right as we went on the air, the Cavaliers and NBA All-Star, All-NBA star Donovan Mitchell have agreed to a four-year, $273 million maximum contract extension. It includes a player option for the 2030-2031 season. It's great for, I think, the... It's great in optics, because I'm not sure it's the best way for the Cavs to spend.
Is Donovan not considered a number one or a big money guy?
I think he's certainly worth consideration, but I'm not ready to say yes, he's absolutely. And he's been the face of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's been there for four seasons. He's been your alpha, but you've kind of seen what your alpha's gotten you, right? Where you were the Eastern Conference runner-up, and it was a no-show from really the whole team in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I do think from the Cavs' perspective, you wanted to keep Mitchell in Cleveland. I certainly, as a Cavs fan, wanted to see Mitchell stay, but wasn't going to be saddened had they made more noise on the Jaylen Brown front, or had they made more noise on the Giannis Antetokounmpo front. And one of those deals might have been that might have had Mitchell included in that.
Yeah.
I think if you're Dan Gilbert and you're Kobe Altman and you're the organization, you are telling the fan base we're invested. Now, they had a roster $240 million last season, so they are invested financially. This is really the only major move that they've made.
That's the issue, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Granted, I think there's a big decision looming, but I think what you're talking about is more just getting some younger pieces around everybody else, or maybe
Mitchell's
bringing in that big number one who we know is the number one guy.
Mitchell's 29. He'll be 30 this upcoming season. So again, he's under contract for the next 4 years. That player option, he'll be in his mid-30s by the time this thing runs out. I do appreciate them making an effort to keep Mitchell as your alpha, because there was talk that he wasn't going to be in Cleveland long-term. This puts him in there for that. I think now you've got to go and make sure LeBron is added to this roster in the offseason.
I like how Justin used the word decision there when he was talking
smart
about that next move. When I first see this contract, and I understand it's the way of the NBA, just seeing that Donovan Mitchell was going to get almost $70 million a year to play basketball is a little crazy. And listen, I like Donovan Mitchell a lot. When I've watched Cavs games, the Cavs are a fun team to watch, and he is a fun player to watch. But as you mentioned, Reese, I don't know if he's an alpha on a team that wins an NBA championship. And I think that's where the Cavs are right now. And maybe the Cavs are just okay with making it into the playoffs, winning a series or two, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals like they did this year. But that doesn't seem like Dan Gilbert to me. And I think that they've operated differently than that. They've operated like a team that's wants to win an NBA championship, as they should. So on a team like that, I think Donovan Mitchell is a number two. I just don't think he can be the number one. And when I think of top 20 players in the league, Reese, is Donovan Mitchell in the top 20? If he is, he's right towards the bottom of that list.
So that's the caveat, right? He's, I'd say, 10 to 20. He can be an alpha with the right pieces around him. He does not currently have that, in my opinion. You've still got Jared Allen. Nobody wants that contract. I think Evan Mobley, as great as he is defensively, I think you've seen his ceiling in terms of the offensive player that he can be. Then there's the James Harden albatross. Now, Harden's going to sign an extension. He had a player option for this season, so Harden was going to be with this squad in 2026 and 2027. It's just how the money, how you're going to make the money work. I do think Harden's good in the regular season. He just no-shows in the postseason. He no-showed this past postseason. He was a turnover machine. It was one of the more frustrating basketballs that I, one of the frustrating players I've ever watched, because he would just stand there and the offense would go completely stagnant and Donovan Mitchell, your alpha, wouldn't take the game over. And I remember yelling at JB, or I remember yelling at Kenny Atkinson, saying, you need to tell him to take over. And if I've got to tell the coach to tell the player, take over, then I don't know if he's worth that maximum deal. Now, if you can bring LeBron in, or a, there, I don't know if there are any players out there with the caliber that LeBron's got anymore in terms of talent, and he can still produce at a high level. I truly believe LeBron is still a top 20 player in the league. If you can bring him in with that, then this Donovan Mitchell thing makes all the sense in the world.
Your alpha comes in, and now Donovan doesn't have to be that guy. He can just be the...
And I think that LeBron can help him be... There doesn't have to be... Because it's hard, right? With LeBron,
you got to teach people how to be the leaders, how to be the alpha, or how to be that guy.
Here's the thing with LeBron. In this situation, he wouldn't have to be the alpha in the regular season. Right. That could be Donovan Mitchell.
You can do all the load management for LeBron you want.
Then LeBron can take over come playoff time.
But in the back scenes is where LeBron can maybe help that younger guys and, you know, show them, you know, what it's about or how to go about it.
Also can take the ball out of James Harden's hands.
Which is never a bad thing.
In situations, obviously Harden can maybe come off the bench.
That would be a rough dynamic, I think, with three guys that need the ball in their hands.
And I think if LeBron in could make that work, you could massage that better. If it's LeBron and Donovan Mitchell, you can easily, I think, or you can make it easier to tell James Harden you're coming off the bench or you're in a less.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we got LeBron role. Now. You're going to be coming off the bench. We're going to let him kind of run things out there with Donovan. We'll bring you in and we'll work this out. But, you know, you also, once LeBron, if LeBron comes onto that team, does James Harden kind of, all right, I gotta lock in, you know, does that change the way he plays? Just knowing
that,
hey, I got
anything that could make James Harden.
If there's anything, if there is anything, it's having LeBron James on your team, in my opinion. You know, they've been through a lot. They've been on all-star teams together and this and that and the other. So he knows what LeBron expects or how that whole thing goes. Maybe. I'm just saying maybe. Now he's making so much money, he does what he does. But
it's a weird spot to say after extending or giving a max extension to your best player, help us, LeBron.
Yeah.
You are our only hope. Yeah. Like, it's not a great spot for the Cleveland Cavaliers to be in. But I do think the New York Knicks showed with beating the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA Finals that year in and year out, it's almost anybody's game so long as they are willing to put the pieces together to be competitive. Because we had said before the NBA Finals, it's the Thunder, it's the Spurs, who's coming out of the West, they're winning the whole thing. It's for the next 5-6 years, it's who's ever coming out of the West, it's their game to run. The Knicks showed that wasn't the case. Now with moves made by the Sixers, Joel Embiid, Jaylen Brown, now moves made by the Celtics, Jason Tatum, Paul George? I don't know, but I don't necessarily, and the New York Knicks, does this move with Donovan Mitchell put the Cavs in that kind of a conversation? I think they're already there, so I think it keeps them there, but I'm looking to get over that.
But didn't Brunson take like a lot less money to try and keep most of that?
He's taken pay cuts
together,
he's
in a way.
He's taken team-friendly deals,
to keep guys together, and it kind of paid off for him. I mean, you wonder if anybody around the league says, well, maybe I don't need that max contract. Let's go ahead and...
You hope. I hope LeBron's
Just don't understand athletes in general, like quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, I want to hire... Like, why? Why do you want to be the highest paid... Like, your team. You need your team. You need a good team around you to be a good quarterback. Like, I've never understood that.
Yeah, it's a
how
thing
much money
where,
do you need in a way? I mean, I get it. You get what you get. It's business. But, you know, as a team game, let's spread the wealth and let's be really good because it's going to be a lot more fun.
As a fan, you want your best players to think like that?
Yeah.
Because you're absolutely right. Not one guy can get it done. It's been shown now that it does take more to do this, and it will take more for the Cleveland Cavaliers than just extending Donovan Mitchell through to 2030 to make them a contender, a legitimate contender for an NBA championship. So we had mentioned we're still on LeBron watch, and I don't know if this move has anything to do with LeBron. I think it's Cleveland wanting to lock up Spida. I think it's good that they did that. We'll have Keith Smith of Spotrac on at 11:30 to talk about more of the financials. With how the Cavs are over the cap, $84 to $85.5 million. Dan Gilbert's a billionaire, so first apron, second apron, he doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's shown a willingness to spend and spend to keep a contender. I do think if you're an owner, you want to sell tickets. Having Donovan Mitchell will sell more tickets than not having Donovan Mitchell. Having that commitment to him mm-hmm. does better from a franchise standpoint, telling your fan base,
yeah. we have this piece.
We are all in.
Yeah.
So LeBron thing, that remains to be seen. You had mentioned something yesterday about being late at Ohio State and how it was something that you didn't want to do with Jim Tressel. And we'd had Joe McGuire, or you had brought up Joe McGuire's comments. You'll hear from Ohio State's punter. And then Big 12 Media Days brought to you by who? That's in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends on the
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
Sup, man?
Sup with you?
Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
All right, here's what's up on a Tuesday. For programming purposes, our 20 most interesting college football program series returns next Monday. USF is going to be one of the teams on the docket, so they're one of 19. But with the South Florida Bulls and new head coach Brian Hartline, we will kind of group them in with other group of five schools that we are interested in what they're going to do this season. Certainly Hartline's got a schedule that's favorable. Certainly he's got talent that he was able to bring down from Columbus, and he's a hell of a recruiter. He's a hell of a motivator. It's really about how he's able to coach and how he's able to be the CEO of a program. I think is the most important thing for any head coach these days is, can you hire the right people around you? You can motivate your athletes. You can have your athletes ready to play, but you have X's and O's guys that on game day can put you in the best spot to win. I think his internship he had as the offensive coordinator, certainly sitting under the Ryan Day, Chip Kelly coaching tree, is going to be something that he's going to be able to parlay into success in Tampa. But again, 20 most interesting, that starts next Monday. Today in Frisco, the 2026 Monster Energy Big 12 Football Media Days kick off. Now, if you're saying, wait a minute, it's sponsored by Monster Energy.
Let's
absolutely.
Go.
Good on Brent Yormark and the Big 12 for trying to find money wherever it is you can get it. Today and tomorrow at the Star in Frisco, so the Dallas Cowboys headquarters. I don't know off the top of my head if Monster Energy is a sponsor of the Cowboys, but it wouldn't surprise me, knowing Jerry Jones, that he would make sure that all of their sponsors...
Everybody's getting fed.
Everybody's making some money off of this. I don't think the Big Ten has Media Days sponsored, though I could be wrong. I think Discover's been involved with the Big Ten Ten Championship.
I don't think I've ever heard it like brought to you by something.
We've got Tony Petitti, so I would think for sure
wouldn't
something
put it past
sponsored.
Him.
He's tried at least, right?
Well, so no I'll say doubt. This. Discover is the presenting sponsor for Football Media Days. It's the Big Ten Football Media Days presented by Discover. So
it is.
A little...
Just not as fun as Monster Energy drinks.
I was just going to say, a little less enthusiastic of a sponsor than Monster Energy.
Does Discover add 0.5% to your credit card bill and it goes to Big Ten NIL now?
That you're over whatever fees charged.
Yeah, we just don't know.
Go to your favorite Big Ten school.
Let's not put that out there.
But July 28th through the 30th, you'll have Big Ten Media Days for 3 days in Chicago, which is a better footprint than what they did last year in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. You got SEC Media Days July 20th through the 23rd. That's in Tampa. Which is in the SEC footprint. It's in Florida, but South Florida is the major program in Tampa. Yeah. So, however, the ACC Media Days will be July 15th through the 17th in Charlotte. So over the next couple of weeks, you're going to have a new Power 4 conference going ahead with their Football Media Days. Brian Hartline, the head coach of the South Florida Bulls, he had an interview with On Through over the weekend, says it's all gas, no brakes, heading into his first year in South Florida, adding, quote, there was some success here the last couple of years, but nowhere near it should be. It goes back to the statement I made at the top of the show. Lofty expectations are a good thing. South Florida won 9 games last season. That feels like the ceiling for a school like that. I'm thrilled to hear from Hartline that that's not the case.
Well, yeah, that's what you're gonna. That's the message you're gonna put out there as the new head coach, right? Now
you should be
deep down inside. Does he realize, like, if I go get 9 wins in my first season, it's gonna be, you know, a successful season? You know, he might think that, but you know, you got to put it out there, and you know, it's gonna be just interesting to see this first year. You mentioned, you know, did he make the right hires? Mm-hmm. Because he's got so much. I mean, he got kind of thrown. He didn't get thrown in the fire. He chose to walk into the fire, but
he wanted the smoke. Yeah,
he wanted it, and now. How's he figuring all that out? And can he really trust those coaches on Saturdays to make the right calls? Because he's got other things he has to worry about, throughout the week.
They beat Boise State last season. They beat Florida last season when the Gators were ranked 13th in the country. Now, they lost to Miami, but I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, they've, you know, close loss against Navy, who was pushing for that G5 playoff appearance last season. So I don't know off the top of my head a South Florida season that's been any more successful in 9-4 and the campaign they were able to put together.
And you look at the schedule coming up. I mean, Memphis and Tulane might be the biggest games they have.
Pretty manageable.
I mean, Army, I think, was on there early on in the season. So, you know, that's always tough going against. But
and a lot of those guys, not all of them, but some of them in the quarterback, Bone Byram, who's really good, followed Alex Golish to Auburn. But there's still some good players there, and we know Brian Hartline, one thing he can do is recruit, and I don't think that's going to change at South Florida. I think he's still going to get some quality players. Now, is he going to get the Jeremiah Smiths of the world? Maybe not, but he's still going to get some quality players down there. And I'll tell you what, hearing Brian Hartline say all gas, no brakes, I don't think that's surprising at all, because that seems like that's just the way that guy lives his life, right? Like all gas.
I saw him jumping off a bridge the other day.
All gas, no brakes doing a backflip. Just kind of him. Yeah. So.
And, you know, South Florida's putting a bunch of money into their program. They're building new facilities down there. You know, they're a very big, I believe they're like 50,000 students or something. Or is that Central Florida? One of them has, they're growing anyways.
I think they both are. Central Florida.
Yeah, they're
Florida
both pretty large
too,
universities, I feel like. So, I mean, they got a lot of people around. You can get excitement from the student section, you know, coming to games. It's all there. If the money's there, his piggy bank might not be as big to go out and get those recruits like you talked about, you know, pulling down a Jeremiah Smith or something like that. But how many times do those guys come around?
Right.
You really need to break the bank for him. So he's great at, you know, evaluating talent. Catching on, I mean, I don't know, you know, there's been a few, at least a handful of receivers that he found that maybe were a 3-star guy, and I really like this kid. I can really do something. I think Brock Boyd was one of those guys coming into this year that when he first started, he wasn't a big name, but Brian saw something in him and wanted to start looking at him, and he's here now.
So that's the key, I think, with Brian Hartline, and really any of these coaches in the group of five, is they're able to make relationships in recruiting, and Hartline was able to make relationship with the best athletes in the country in the recruiting process for Ohio State, and when they say they come to Columbus, they can't make their way onto the field, a second chance can await them in Tampa, or a second chance can await them in Orlando. I just did a quick Google. 2024 U.S. News and World Report had for UCF in Orlando 59,000 students. South Florida had an enrollment in 2024 of 38,000. Looks like USF's the fourth largest university in the Sunshine State in terms of enrollment. So there's opportunity not only with an active student base, there's opportunity for players to have their second or maybe even third chances with the transfer portal to really make a name for themselves and make it to the next level. Hartline, with his evaluation, with his development, I mean, look at the guys he sent to the NFL. That can be you if you're a 3, a 4, or a 5-star that just didn't work at your first place.
And if you come out and you're an exciting offense and you're scoring points, I mean, you're going to get those guys.
Yes.
I mean, like, if you have a good first year and you already have the hype of, you know, being one of maybe the best recruiter in the country, maybe people start looking at you, especially if that piggy bank opens up and you're able to go out and get some people.
There's some things that are just true regardless of where you are. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you could develop guys, and you mentioned Jay-Z, it wasn't just the 5-stars. It was the 3-stars, too, developing them and making them something. It's also true that these guys want to go to the NFL. Brian Hartline's been there. He knows what it takes. And I don't know if Brian Hartline was ever the most skilled guy on the field, but he knew how to make it work for him. And I think there's also something, too, with these guys. Like, you see Brian Hartline down on the field, he looks like he could still play. It's kind of like the Marcus Freeman or James Laurinaitis effect. Like, man, this guy's still a dude. You see him in his medium core zip.
with his new arm sleeve tattoo.
When it should be a large, and he's wearing the nice leather shoes and all that. And those things matter.
He definitely looks the part, and I mean, you can go back and say, didn't he have like a game where he had almost 300 yards receiving? I mean, yeah, go back and watch me do this. You know, I've been there. I've done it.
There's few legitimate coaches like Brian in the country in terms of doing it at the highest level and then coaching, evaluating, developing talent for the highest level. Like, he's still going to have guys that are going to hear their names called first, second, third, fourth, fifth overall in upcoming NFL draft. And so that's, you're rooting for him, obviously, because he's a guy who did it all at Ohio State. And, you know, with the energy that you talked about, one of my favorite things that Ryan Day's done is he's went out and he's elevated and brought in energetic guys that know the game at every single level. And, I think to Matt Patricia on the sidelines, like hugging guys and, you know, talking with his hands much like I do. And it shows a passion and enthusiasm that few others have, that few other programs have in abundance, like Ohio State has gotten. So I hope a lot of that can trickle down to South Florida and wish Brian Hartline all the success in the world. The one thing I wanted to play real quick was from Joe McGuire, Ohio State's punter. He was on with, this sounds like an Australian podcast because they all have Aussie accents. So apologies for not having the name of the podcast on the top of my head. Everybody's got a podcast these days. But yes, here's McGuire talking about Ohio State's tardy to the party rules.
Training will start at 6:30. You have to be there at 6.
Yep.
If you're a minute late, it is a disaster. Like, I would rather crash my car than like show up late. Like, it is so bad.
For what reason?
You'll have a dawn patrol on Saturday. So you've got to be there at 6. You're cleaning the weight room. You're restocking fridge. Then after that, you'll have community service. Then on Monday, if you're the
community service,
this isn't just you, by the way, this is you and your entire unit. So, this is, if I'm late, it's me and all the other specialists and my coach. Then you kick out of the locker room for 3 days. You're like Harry Potter, you're under the stairs. That's where you get changed and live for the 3 days, you and your entire unit and your coach. And then, you have to do a lock in on Monday. You have to go and work at football, and they make sure you're doing your homework, and they'll drive you to and from class. And yeah, so no good, you don't want to be late.
You were saying it yesterday, and it got me to thinking, when you were a player with Jim Tressel, what was the punishment for lack of punctuality when you were a player? We'll hear about it next. It's Bishop and Friends on the
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows.
Oh no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
The best facial hair on the air. This is Bishop and Friends.
Yes, it is. Eric Reeser, Justin Zwick, Ryan Baker with you until noon today. Uncle Dom's going to join us at 10:30 in his normal Tuesday spot. He's got a month left in his quasi-retirement because this time in 1 month we'll be out at Ohio State's training camp. And so
I feel like he just retired for like the party and cake or something like that. And then he's coming back.
He got his flowers, but there was no way, in my opinion, Dom Tiberi was going to miss the fireworks that are to come for this season for Ohio State. So it'll be awesome having Dom back as part of what is the best Buckeye coverage you're going to get anywhere here at 10 TV and at 97 on the Fan.
And I believe it's going to be some new, like, expanded coverage with Dom, some behind-the-scenes
expanding
things.
Everything, aren't we?
Yeah.
Maybe Dom, like, following people for a day or two. And I think
I feel bad for those people.
Some good stuff.
Dom's got to avoid bikes, though. So was there an e-bike mishap? We'll have to get what happened with that.
He didn't say e-bike. He just said his bike.
But he's got an e-bike, right?
He does have an e-bike, but he didn't say if it was just the e-bike or the pedal bike, but it sounds like there was a mishap on Saturday.
Oh, boy.
There's your tease for 10:30. Keith Smith covers the NBA at SpoTrack. He's one of the hosts of the Front Office show. Really one of the best guys to follow at Keith Smith NBA in terms of what does this player's contract mean for this team's cap. So we'll have plenty to discuss with the Donovan Mitchell max extension news coming down today. LeBron James, obviously you're still on LeBron watch, but there's been so much more movement, Justin, over the NBA the last couple of weeks that I'm really interested to get his thoughts on. Really, who separated themselves in a contender or pretender conversation and how their different caps, because there's no one way to bake that cake. With the Celtics trying to get under an apron, the Cavs saying bleep that apron, we're paying $85 million over. So Keith will join us at 11:30 there. But you'd heard from Joe McGuire, Ohio State, one of Ohio State's Australian punters in the last segment, talking about if you're late to workouts, you're on Dawn Patrol. And I wonder if it's Dawn Patrol, D-A-W-N, because you're up earlier and you're cleaning. If you are late to anything,
we'll play on words,
for Ohio State,
yeah, you get Dawn soap and you're up at Dawn.
Great creativity from the Buckeyes and from their coaching staff and from one Mickey Marotti. But he had also said that if you're late, you're on Dawn patrol, but you and your unit are banned from the locker room for 3 days along with your coach. You got to change somewhere else. And I wonder, Justin, for you, like, if the quarterbacks couldn't change in the locker room, how does that affect the dynamic at practice? How does it affect your overall mood?
I would have probably just like went to the team lounge and started changing in there or something like that, just to be, you know, that kind of guy. No, that, you know, and the first I ever heard of that, because this, that did not happen when I was there. Like, you had a locker, you were in the locker room, like, they didn't kick us out.
Right.
The first I heard of that was when Urban came in and it was like,
it's just about to say, it feels like a very Urban Meyer
nobody's
thing.
Allowed to use the locker room until you guys prove that you're a part of this team in the middle of winter doing 6 a.m.s. Like, that was the craziest thing I'd ever heard. That's not necessarily a punishment, but it kind of is a punishment because 6 a.m.s are terrible as they are. But if you're out there in the cold outside going pushing boards through snow and whatnot, that, so that was the first I ever heard of that. We did not have that, you know, being late or any kind of discipline kind of just went to the weight room staff. Mike Cochran was an assistant strength coach. He loved the climber. The climber is one of the hardest things you could do. He'd put you on there, put it on a setting, you know, somewhere between the 7 and 10, which is legit.
If you've ever used one of those.
If you've
things.
Ever used one. And the big thing was no hands. You're not allowed to touch the railing. You got to stand up. You got to walk. If Mike caught you with your hands on a little wooden broomstick, whack, you know, that sort of thing. So our punishments were more conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be on the climber. You might have to go run outside. You might be bear crawling back and forth across the woody indoor field. You know, that sort of thing. We had during camp a Dawn patrol. I had to do it my junior year because I was injured. I got rolled up on in practice, bad ankle. So for whatever reason, they made me go. You know, you had to wake up during camp. This is actually really bad because you're dead tired.
Yeah,
you know, you're trying to get all the sleep you can at the hotel when you're there, but you're up at, you know, you're on the road at 7 anyways. But that Dawn patrol was, all right, you're going to get up at 5:30. We're going over to go swimming because you can't run. Like, it was that, and we didn't have a pool at the Woody, so we had to drive to campus to find a pool to get into to swim at 6 a.m. And then you get back to the Woody and you have your entire day of camp. And so that, for a week when I wasn't able to walk or do anything, that stunk.
Justin, when you were on the Stairmaster, the climber,
oh, yeah,
and you no hands, your right hand was off limits, right, from the broomstick? It was always the left hand?
The right hand was next to another one, so it was harder for him to get
so.
To. The one on the end is where he'd put you, because there was about four of them.
Justin's right hand is off limits.
Yeah, that one might have been off limits, but yeah, he didn't mess around. And, you know, seeing the big guys up on that thing, I remember watching Steve Rearing go at it for whatever he did at the time. But, I mean, he's 6'8", 330 pounds.
I was just about to ask who spent the most time up on those things.
Just up there. I mean, he'd be, like, you know, falling over, like, almost falling off the thing.
Did you have, like, a crash pad behind
him? No, there's just a wall. So you had to make sure that you were good to go on that. But, yeah, I love the unit idea of, hey, if one of your guys is late, because that makes everybody, I mean, at 6 a.m., you're almost calling everybody on your unit. Hey, yep. All right, we'll see you guys there. Make sure you're on time.
I feel like I heard this story. I don't know if it was from Bobby or James or someone back in the day, but wasn't it like morning lift was at 6 a.m.? Mm-hmm. And if you were late, you couldn't participate or something like that?
Yeah, I'm sure they would. Yeah, if you're not there by the time that they want you to, but it wasn't like this where, all right, we're going to kick you out of the locker room. We're going to do this, and this. You might have some sort of punishment conditioning-wise. The biggest punishment is, hey, you were up that early, but you're just a couple minutes late, and now you just got to sit here, and you got to come back to the 10 a.m. or the 3 o'clock in the afternoon one to get your workout in.
Who was, if you can say, the biggest offender?
Oh, goodness.
In terms of lack of punctuality, who was the worst at it?
I feel like, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but
you don't have to.
I feel like Alex Boone maybe had a few had a few run-ins.
I don't think that's surprising.
No, I don't. Yeah,
anybody who hears that,
I love the guy. I haven't seen him in years, but I feel like there's quite a few stories, of Alex.
I have a buddy that we used to play softball with, and he went to high school with Alex, and I've heard some of that.
Alex was a wild surprising. Man, boy. Another guy, 6'8", 330. I mean, just a huge human being. And he was a good time. He was a lot of fun.
Because I'm just picturing a regular Stairmaster at the gym. But for and those are for regular humans, much like myself, for a gigantic person. Do they make they don't make them any bigger? But
yeah, I mean,
still,
they make I mean, the big industrial size ones are bigger than some you might find at a normal gym.
I would hope so, because that thing, even
well, the weight capacity. I mean, you got
to
think
you got to be able to hold 6'8", 300 pounds of a human. Real quick, I want to just bring up what the Blue Jackets did yesterday and adding a defenseman via free agency, Ryan Lomberg. He's 31, a $2.5 million contract for the next two seasons. Porty says it's the only significant add via free agency, and I agree with that. He fought Matthew Olivier in the 24-25 season. He's a member with the Calgary Flames, so he told reporters yesterday, quote, I know Matthew Olivier's right fist pretty well. It's a guy that I appreciate that kind of attitude because I think that's what's missing from the Blue Jackets locker room. I still think there's more that the CBJ need to do in free agency, and where Ryan Baker and I were talking about it before the show, and you threw out a very interesting name you think the Jackets already need to be on the phone with.
Yeah, so real quick, Lomberg is a fourth-line forward, Reese. The defenseman that they did sign yesterday is Colton White. He's a guy that's going to bounce back between Cleveland and the Jackets as a depth defenseman. I love the Lomberg pickup because he's a dude that you're never going to question his heart. He's not going to chip in a lot on the scoreboard, but you're never going to question him. You're never going to see him not hit somebody. He's a ball of energy. And you're going to love him. But this Jackets team, if they want to get somewhere, they need to add some top-line skill. The best American-born hockey player arguably ever is out there and available right now in Patrick Kane. And last night, all the rumors out of Detroit were that door is closed, that he will not be coming back to Detroit. If I'm the Blue Jackets, I'm on the phone with Patrick Kane right now. I understand he's 37 years old. But he had 57 points in 67 games last year. He would immediately help your power play. He could also help some of your younger guys. He's won Stanley Cups before. I'm on the phone and I'm getting Patrick. I'm doing everything I can to get Patrick Kane to come here.
That'd be a heck of a name and a heck of an ad.
Well, I'm thinking like that name, if I would have woke up and saw that, I'd be like, ooh, okay. I woke up this morning and saw
Patrick Kane's a Columbus Blue Jackets
for like 2 years, $2 million. I'm like, like just based off the salary. I'm like, okay. Well, I mean, yeah, he's going to probably be a player. We're going to be able to use him, but that's not the splash, you know, the splash that you would hope Kane would be. I mean, that'd be a splash, right?
A Blue Jackets, hypothetical, and then the World Cup and what it could mean for Team USA will all be part of The Real Truth coming up next. Bishop and Friends on
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Donovan Mitchell's staying in Cleveland until 2029 at the very least. The two sides, Cleveland and Mitchell, have reportedly agreed to a four-year max extension worth $273 million. It's got a player option in 2030. The 29-year-old Mitchell averaged 27 points per game this past season for the Eastern Conference runners-up. In NHL news, the Blue Jackets signed forward Ryan Lomberg to a two-year deal. The 31-year-old Lomberg spent the last two seasons in Calgary. He won a Stanley Cup with the Panthers in 2024. In the World Cup Monday, end of the road for Team USA, Belgium dominated the U.S. men's team 4-1 in their round of 16 matchup. Belgium will play Spain in the quarterfinals Friday at 3. In baseball, both the Reds and Guardians were off Monday. Cleveland's on the road for the next six. Guardians are at the Twins Tuesday. Reds are home to wrap up their first half. They'll host Philadelphia tonight at 7:10. Baseball's All-Star Games next Tuesday in Philly. This update sponsored by Germain Toyota for unbeatable service and sales. Visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road.
The friends are the guests and listeners. Reeser and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
We are Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, Justin Zwick rolling with you on this Tuesday. We'll have Dom Tabari coming up in 30 minutes. Keith Smith of Spotrac will join us at 11:30. I just mentioned the Donovan Mitchell extension news. Cavs are going to be over the cap or over the first apron, over the second apron forever. We'll kind of get a sense of what that means, and maybe if there's a LeBron James decision that's looming. If you are sponsored by Monster Energy, I do believe you need a monster truck, or at least you need pyrotechnics. And I don't believe that's the case right now for Big 12 Media Days, which are sponsored by Monster Energy. Now,
they might have the truck parked out front. You know, you walk by.
Gravediggers
out there.
Got the promo girls out there giving out Monster Energy drinks to people.
It's in Dallas at the Dallas Cowboys headquarters, so the Star in Frisco. I think that AT&T Stadium's still being used for the World Cup, so you can't necessarily do a monster truck rally there. But if you're going to get a monster sponsorship at any event, at least some pyrotechnics.
Something, yeah.
Not the case. And no real fireworks from Big 12 Media Days. The conference isn't really of consequence, mm-hmm. top to bottom, at least in the way the Big Ten and the SEC and even the ACC are. It's interesting, you know, DJ Lagway is there. He plays for Baylor, in case you forgot.
Is that interesting?
I was just about to say.
You know, just to find out where people end up.
So look, he's the highest graded recruit ever to play for the Baylor Bears, which is, I guess, kind of interesting considering. Texas Tech's Joey McGuire told ESPN's Pete Thamel Will Hammond's going to be the starter for the Red Raiders, but Hammond's recovering from a torn ACL, and they gave Brendan Sorsby $6 million, which would tell anybody with a brain that they didn't think Hammond was going to be the guy.
Now he's going to be 100% by August 21st.
That's like, the real disappointment of Big 12 Media Days, is that the Sorsby situation is dead and over. Yeah. Because if this was still something, now Big 12...
if he was still their starter, like, it would have been
Media
a week.
Big 12 Media Days have some spice to them.
It's the 2026 Monster Energy Big 12 Media Days. And so, yes, had Texas Tech remained steadfast in starting Sorsby, that would have been the biggest story. And now you just have a bunch of schools and kind of wonder out loud, well, who out of this bunch is making the college football playoff? You got to bring somebody to the dance. Is it BYU again? Or is it BYU? Is it Texas Tech again? I don't think anybody...
Texas Tech, is the rest of the team good enough to, you know, carry a quarterback who's coming off of an ACL surgery and didn't really play that much last year? I mean, can they?
Yeah, I don't.
Can he be just a game manager? I'm guessing that's what they're asking him to do right now. Just, hey, don't lose.
Especially at this point, right, where he's coming off a torn ACL.
Yeah, freshman, I mean, yeah.
And the guy you paid $6 million to is not even going to be eligible for the Canadian Football League this year.
I mean, he had 109 attempts last year. So, I mean,
did he play for Texas Tech last season? Yeah, played for the last two seasons.
Yeah, he was 69 and 109, 63%, 680 yards, 7 TDs, 3 interceptions, 3 sacks. So, I mean, he's got a little bit, but... You know, them bringing in Sorsby showed and told everybody that we weren't really expecting to play him this year.
Right, so the Monster Energy Big 12 Football Media Days today and tomorrow at the Star in Frisco. Next week, you got ACC Media Days in Charlotte, July 20th through the 23rd, SEC Media Days in Tampa, and then the Big 10 Media Days presented by Discover will take place in Chicago, July 28th
you guys go
through
out to that?
The 30th. Probably not.
No.
Social media.
It's become so easy now with social media. And
I will say this. I think Austin and Berm, one of the two, will be going out there. You know, Austin goes everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And you may have Adam or Nicole heading that way.
That's
or
true.
Dom,
I didn't think about TV.
Or Dom. Ooh, yeah, who Dom. Knows? I don't know.
So one of the members of this station will be out there, and we'll have content all week long for that. And, you know, really Ohio State, Indiana, there's so many more fireworks and storylines relative to what you're getting this week at the Star in Frisco. But it is just after, I'll say 10 o'clock on a Tuesday, we'll hit the real truth.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years.
Start with the Blue Jackets here. Zach Werenski and Adam Fantilli will play one more season together in Columbus. Is that the real truth?
I am going to say yes, that is the truth. I think they are going to come back. I mean, I think Z is back next year, right? For sure. And as long as somebody doesn't scoop him out, Fantilli out, then I think we can match an offer. So I think they keep that together to keep Z a little bit happier next year and, you know, see what they can do. You know, if that Kane guy is available and he wants to come over here, I mean, that could be a huge get, and maybe we have an exciting season next year. But Bacon is going to know better.
I do think this is the real truth because, man, wouldn't that be the swerve of all swerves if Don Waddell ends up pulling off a Zach Werenski trade this offseason? So I don't think that's happening. I think Zach is here next year. I will say this, Reese. The closer and closer we get to Friday, the more nervous I'm going to be about it.
You and probably everybody.
I do think if Anaheim matches, that the Philadelphia Flyers will come calling for Adam Fantilli to see, hey, and I don't know if it's going to be the five-year, $90 million deal that would make Fantilli the highest paid player in the league, but I can't believe that Carlson signed that offer sheet and the Blue Jackets haven't gotten a deal with Fantilli done yet. And I'm sure the price went up. I'm sure the Jacket, I'm not going to say I'm sure.
Oh, Fantilli's agent, I'm sure, was like, oh.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say I'm sure about this, but right? I would guess they were probably thinking somewhere in the $10 million a year range. And that's probably up into the $12 or $13 million a year range right now after that. And maybe that's where this sticking point is, but I just can't believe they haven't gotten this deal done. How do you even risk this?
What are they saying about yesterday's price?
How big of a gut punch is that going to be?
Oh, that's a wasted season?
Wasted season next year if we lose him.
It's a big gut punch.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get the world back as far as first round picks.
Four first round picks,
and maybe Don Waddell could turn those into something. I don't know. Like, it's not over until it's over type thing. But I will say this. Last year, we heard that the Jackets were going to make big moves, and nothing really happened. They did bring in Charlie Coyle, but nothing really happened, and it was understandable last year. Nobody was giving up their players. Everybody was re-signing everybody because the salary cap went up. This year, there were a lot of big moves happening, a lot of big trades. There were some more free agents available. Still, the Jackets haven't done much. They traded for Nichushkin, but that just kind of replaces Marchment when you look at the end goal here. So there's really, I don't know if there's a big move in there. But yeah, if they lose Fantilli, that's rough.
From this Blue Jackets fan's perspective, I want to see Philadelphia land Carlson, because that means Anaheim couldn't or didn't match. Because I am more confident the Jackets can match whatever Anaheim would be offering Fantilli than whatever Philadelphia would be offering for Adam Fantilli. It won't be that the deal for Carlson. But again, my confidence would be higher if Anaheim's the one.
Yeah, just because you know Philly has the money and they're willing to spend it.
The willingness is the biggest thing. And I know Don Waddell, before the offer sheet was announced for Carlson, said that they were going to be ready to match anything for Fantilli. And that I would have more confidence if it was the Anaheim not-so-mighty Ducks.
Just never forget this here with the Anaheim and Philly situation. There is a possibility in this deal with Leo Carlson that not only do the Philadelphia Flyers want to get a good player, but they made the offer so big that Anaheim couldn't re-sign Cutter Gauthier, too. And Gauthier was a Flyers prospect who wasn't going to play there and forced his way out into a trade to Anaheim. So there could be some pettiness in there. So maybe the deal for if they presented Fantilli with an offer sheet, maybe it wouldn't be nearly as high as what they did to Anaheim. But still, none of this is fun to talk about.
Yeah, we're
right
all
going to
be nervous until
just get him signed.
Until Friday. The World Cup round of 16 is the absolute ceiling for the U.S. men's national soccer team. Is that the real truth?
History shows us yes. Unfortunately, it's been, 20-some years since we got back to that spot?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't, after watching last night, I just don't know that we have the horses to win the race and that sort of thing. Now, you play the game, that's why you play the game. You never know, anything can happen, but I just don't know with the amount of talent these other countries have of guys who play big-time soccer year-round, and then they all come together like an all-star team. Now, I know we should be like an all-star team, but it's just not that good of an all-star team.
Yeah.
Not comparatively.
So, in general, yes, this is the ceiling. But the United States does have enough good athletes and good soccer players. And I think whether Pochettino stays or not, they'll spend the money on getting a good coach to come in and coach the national team. So, I could see them possibly at a World Cup here in the not-too-distant future, maybe cracking it into the final eight, but I don't know if I see a final four for this team, and they're definitely, to me, not winning a World Cup. So I think in general, this is maybe they could climb into the attic a little bit and get above the ceiling 1 year. But most of the time, this is where you're at.
It's good, not great. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what is great. A giveaway. The Good Guys 28th Summit Racing Nationals at the Ohio Expo Center, July 10th through the 12th. We've got a family four-pack of tickets to give away. Caller number 8 right now, 821-9710, gets that family four-pack of tickets. Check out over 6,000 of the country's coolest hot rods, muscle cars, trick cars, customs, and more. Passes are good for 1 day only. Again, that four-pack of tickets. Get details, vehicle registration if you want to show off your ride, and ticket info at goodguys.com. Again, caller number 8 to 821-9710. Are you disrespecting our quarterback? Say it ain't so. That's next. Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have a partly cloudy sky ahead for the rest of the day. There's a slight chance of a stray shower or storm, but most of us ought to stay dry with highs in the mid-80s. Overnight, partly cloudy skies, patches of fog once again with lows in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, partial sunshine, a little warmer, upper 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
And this wonderful program is proudly sponsored by our friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. Eric Reeser, Justin Zwick, Ryan Baker with you on this Tuesday. We'll have Uncle Dom coming up in about 10 minutes. Get a retirement update, a bike mishap.
A health update, maybe.
And then see how his 4th of July weekend went. I think he's dealing with all of his digits. Well, that's good. But we'll see what Uncle Dommy's got prepared for the next month, because he's going to be out with us at Ohio State's fall camp in a month.
He may not have had time to lose any digits and set off fireworks. Yeah. If... The bike accident might have took him out of commission for that.
Oh, boy.
So we did something last week, Justin, from CBS Sports, the top 10 quarterback rooms. Blake Brockmeyer of CBS Sports ranked the best quarterback rooms in the country. And I don't think anybody can... I can hear the argument, but I would agree with his number one of Oregon, because Dante Moore... probably the best quarterback in the country going into this season, best overall quarterback, and Dylan Raiola isn't a scrub.
No, a guy who started 2 years in the Big Ten.
So I agree with the ranking there. At Texas, at 2, I think that's a bit too high, because I think Arch Manning's really good.
I think he's good. I don't want to even say really good.
But I'm not ready to put him with Dante Moore.
No.
I think 9 of 10 college football fans would take Dante over Arch. And the other fan is probably wearing burnt orange.
Or they're a big Manning
fan. Or loves the Mannings for some reason.
Yeah, I think that, and yes, he's probably going to be fine this year. But, yeah. I mean, Texas beats us last year if he was any good.
Yeah, does Fine get you to the national championship?
He missed wide open guys throwing balls into the dirt.
That was bad.
He helped us help ourselves that day, in my opinion. And it got better as the year went on. But he had like 2 games that he threw for like 300 yards, and and one was in a comeback against a bad team. I just don't know. I don't buy into the hype of this kid. So number 2 there, it's a little high for me. Top 5, sure, I'll give you that. But number 2 coming after Oregon, I disagree.
And admittedly, I don't know anything about MJ Morris, who's a veteran. He's going to be the backup, but he's a
10 career starts across multiple programs. That's what you need to know about him. He's bounced around quite a bit.
And I see Utah at 3, and I didn't know their quarterback room. Nope. I see 4, Trinidad Chambliss is really good. But
new head coach, new staff, and I mean, I know he's a really good player, but...
I see those 3 programs, and I go, I don't know if any of them have a better quarterback and a better quarterback room than Julian St. Antavian St. Clair.
How do you leave the guy who was in New York off two or three. Like, I understand Dante Moore. Everybody expected him to, you know, go maybe the top three quarterbacks last year. You know, very high pick. He comes back. I can understand that. Arch, the name, I think that bumps him up there. But yeah, you had Julian, who was in New York last year.
Heisman finalist.
Almost, you know, third highest percentage completion in college football history in his first year starting. And you put him at five?
Not only the Heisman, but he was top 10. He's the only one of these quarterbacks that we're talking about coming back for this year that was top 10 in every major quarterback stat. And most of those, he was higher. And I think I kind of started thinking about this with this Julian saying almost disrespect when you started seeing way too early mock drafts for next year. And a lot of them didn't even have him in the first round, whether that be they thought he was coming back to school for more seasoning or they thought he would come back because he was going to be too far down on the quarterback list. And some of these guys they had in there were just, there's no way that they were better than Julian. And I don't know if Julian's going to be a good pro or not, but Julian is a heck of a good college football quarterback. I mean, you mentioned it. He was in the, he was in New York
in
for the
year,
Heisman
in
last
year one
of him starting. This is the guy that Nick Saban, we all believe Tab to be his final quarterback in college football. So I was thinking about this and I just thought, who better to talk to than you about this? And like, what is it with Julian that you see that you really like? And then what are some things that maybe he needs to work on and get better at?
Yeah, first and foremost, I mean, I remember last year doing post-game shows talking about this completion percentage, and like it was in the 80s, a lot of games. Like, I don't think people understand how hard that is to do, even on air or in practice, to go out into a game and just be so accurate with the ball, making all the right reads, putting it exactly where it needs to be. That is hard to do week in and week out. So for him to come in his first year and just have that, I mean, that impressed the heck out of me. I do wish, and I think we'll see it a little bit more this year. You know, the Joe Cool, Southern California, I feel like you saw that a little bit at times with pocket presence and just thinking, I got a little bit more time. I got the arm. I can get it out. I would rather him be stepping up into the pocket, you know, kind of coming downhill a little bit and then, nothing's there. I'm closer to the line of scrimmage. Maybe I can pick up a couple yards. You know, that sort of thing. Instead of just hanging back, you know, in the pocket and just thinking that you're going to have enough time to get that. You're just waiting for that split second. A lot of times that split second, they're going to get to you. So, you know, I think that's something that they've talked about. And after the last two games last year, everybody, we need a running quarterback. Mm-hmm. We got to have somebody like, you know, I get that. And yeah. I think the pocket presence and kind of working the pocket up back to the line of scrimmage, even though you don't want to get too far, you got linemen in front of you, but you got to be able to maneuver around there. And I think that's probably something in the offseason that he's worked a lot with, of just keeping your eyes downfield, going through your reads, but nothing's there. I'm taking off, I don't need you to run 40 yards. I just need you to go get positive yards when something breaks down in the backfield. So I think that's one area that, you know, everybody wants him to run more, and I get that, but I don't think we need him quarterback running more. I think we just need him to be better in the pocket, have better understanding of what the defense is giving me. Oh, they're all dropping. I don't think I'm going to have anything here. This man, nobody's waiting for me on the outside. I'm going to go ahead and pull this down and pick up 10 yards.
I think the extra second thing, because Ohio State played a lot of tomato cans in the regular season, then when you played aggressive defenses like with Indiana and especially with Miami, that 1 second wasn't even there. And at times you didn't even have a second before someone was in your face. And I also think, to the Ohio State's overall offensive game plan last season didn't make for the best development of Julian, because they sat on the football and they tried to limit the amount of plays in preparation for a long playoff. And in theory, that's good, but they, I think, rested too much on their laurels, thinking that it could just be turned on. Like, you could flip the switch as soon as you got into the postseason, and then it wasn't the case in games in the Big Ten Championship and then the college football playoff against Miami, like you said. So I hope that there will be a happy medium this season of, we've got to put a ton of points on the board. Ryan Day talks a lot about efficiency, and for me, I think that means points, and I think that means completion percentage, and I think that means red zone
time of possession
efficiency. Yeah. And I there's got to be a happy medium between what you had with CJ Stroud and Dwayne Haskins and what they tried to do last season.
Yeah, well, I think they just came out in that Texas game saying, all right, we're going to bring him along very slowly.
Yeah.
And you heard Ryan even after the game say, we probably could have put more on him, you know, the way he handled what we did give him. But to your point, it just kind of felt like the rest of the season was like, all right, well, it worked. It worked against Texas. That's probably, you know, one of the biggest games we're going to have until we get into the, you know, the end of the year. So let's just go ahead and continue that. And then you get into those big games and maybe things aren't going as well. And you're like, all right, ooh, we got to step on the gas here. And you just, you know, you hadn't really done it. You hadn't needed to do it. And all of a sudden, you know, your back's against the wall. Like, oh, okay, here we go. We got to figure this out now. With all that being said, I mean, we're inside the 10-yard line with against Indiana in a 13-10 ball game three different times and we don't get points. You know, like a pick six to Miami. Like, we're still in these games, even the way we were playing. So he didn't really need to change everything, but there's something about playing bigger games, I think, which we're going to get this year. We're going to play in a lot of big games. We're going to play in some good competition, and I think that's going to help us prepare for the playoffs because all of those games are going
to
be big games.
It's going to, I think, be, to your point, a proper preparation.
Yes. And maybe last year wasn't so much. We knew rolling the ball on the field last year with our defense giving up under 10 points a game. Yeah, we scored two touchdowns. We're going to win this.
Thanks a lot, Penn State. The Retirement Chronicles of Dom Tabari in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with Tabari.
Sponsored by CEC Turf and Tractor.
Find your next Kubota tractor at CEC Turf and Tractor.
Visit online at cecturfandtractor.com.
Eric Reeser, Justin Zwick, Ryan Baker, going out now to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. And check on Uncle Dom. Buddy, hope your 4th of July was all right. Are you going to be not, I mean...
Are you on the IR or what?
How are you?
Let me tell you what. I'll tell you how I'm doing. I'm a little irritable after watching. I had a soccer party last night. We're watching it, and I'm all excited. I was buying into the hype, and then I watched a train wreck. That was awful. And let me tell you what. There's no moral victories. You know, the fact that they got there, they got beat 4-1, and it was so I mean, the way they played, it was awful. And but I'm also in a bad mood. I crashed on my bicycle on the 4th of July. That's how it was. I didn't get to see the fireworks. I was in the ER because I fell off the bike, and I went down, and I'm in a lot of pain. And so it was painful to watch the soccer last night. And other than that, everything's good. How are you boys?
We're doing better than you are, I think. I guess here's a chaser. You have Ohio State football in a month. The boys will be out of training camp, and we hope you'll be out there with us. So you have that to look forward to, which is nice. Yeah. Was it operator error for the bicycle accident?
Was this an e-bike, or was this where you actually pedaling, getting exercise?
JC, I have an e-bike.
No, Tommy.
I was waiting on my buddy, Don Vito, otherwise known as Coach Tony Bazzuti, and his beautiful wife, Wendy. And we were going to take a bike ride and then maybe go look at fireworks. And so I was just doing little circles in the street waiting for them to come out. And I looked at something and took my eye off. And I think I hit the button, and it just kind of fooled me because I was getting pedal assist. But then it ended and I lost my balance. And next thing you know, I'm going over the handlebars. I wasn't going fast, but I thought I had saved the day, but I didn't. So my knee hit first, and then my entire weight of my body hit my chest. Then my face hit the street, and then my head, the top of my head. Thank God I had a helmet on, but I ended up going to the ER, and I have bruised ribs, a little, maybe some cracked cartilage. My chin is got road rash. I got road rash on my knees. Other than that, you know, no big deal for a 67. I am the coolest grandpa. I'm 6'7", but you know, for that, yeah. But I got up. It would have killed. Thank God I'm tough. Otherwise, you know,
it would have killed a lesser man, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good thing you don't have to be on TV tonight. You can't have road rash on the TV.
Well, I was supposed. You know, I'm in this retirement thing, and I'll just, you know, come in a little bit during football and whatever. And, you know, the cool thing is I now am on Medicare. I'm now on retirement. I got all that going. And then, you know, I'll do some stuff in the fall with football and maybe do, I'm going to do Coach Diebler's show. I'll do Coach Day's show. But I was supposed to be at the U.S. Senior Open. I was going to go do that show with the one and only Andy Montgomery from the Kinsale Golf and Fitness Club and then my buddy Adam King. But I couldn't, first of all, I couldn't stand up straight. My chest hurt so bad. And then I looked like I went 10 rounds with Tyson. My face did not look too good.
Well, it doesn't sound like your little retirement here is going so well, at least this week. But I heard something. You might be following some people around. Just give us an idea of what exactly. I know Ryan Day's show, maybe. You mentioned Diebler's show.
I have no idea.
You have no idea what you're going to be doing?
I have no idea what Ryan Baker was talking about. So hopefully he can fill me in.
I mean, we figured you'd have some time off. You need a little bit extra.
I thought you said you guys were going to do some fun stuff. Maybe we're not supposed to be talking about it or whatnot.
I have no idea what you're talking about. No one's told me anything yet. Well, what do you know?
You have all this time on your hands now. You can go do stuff like that. So you can follow around Coach Day. I can do
whatever you want. I didn't know I know I was going to interview him. I didn't know I was going to go dancing with him.
It sounds like we need somebody to follow you around all day and keep you from falling off your bicycle.
Amen to that. Well, and, you know, I got a guy I'm hanging with, Don Vito. Do you remember Don Vito from the Bam Margera days and whatever? He's reincarnated in Coach Bizzuti.
That's a pull. Viva La Bam, one of the original.
Yeah.
So you were doing stunts on the e-bike.
I was doing something. All I know is that I'm gonna ask you this, Jay-Z. Are the best athletes in America playing soccer? Yes or no?
No. I talked about this on the Buckeye Show. You know what
makes me crazy? The soccer people will go crazy and yell at me. They're going, "Oh, yes, they are. You don't know what you're talking." No, the best athletes in America are playing football and basketball. They are not playing soccer. I'm sorry.
Do you think if we put a soccer ball on their foot at a young age like they do over in Europe, that we would be inside the top 16 every time the World Cup is played?
It would help, but there's a lot of school districts that don't even have soccer.
Yeah. I mean, Orville was one. I grew up in one back in the day that, I mean, by the time I was out of there, they had soccer. But, yeah, it's something that, especially Northeast Ohio, I didn't see a lot of.
Yeah, best athletes gravitate elsewhere.
Well, I mean, and you got to make kids understand, hey, you can make a ton of money playing soccer, but not in this country, you know?
Are you trying with any of your grandkids to try to put a golf club in their hands to see if that'll take? Because I thought of Patrick Harrington over the weekend at the U.S. Senior Open. I thought that's probably the best way to go about a professional career.
I'll tell you what. I got my grandson, Giovanni. He's gone golfing with us now. Go. He's hitting balls and whatever. Yeah, why not? I'll tell you what. I played football, and my body still pays the price for that. But you know what? Golf, they always go, that's a non-contact sport. Ask Jack Nicklaus, ask Tiger Woods, ask anyone that played at the highest level. Because every time you swing the club, that club's making contact with the ground. And it takes wear and tear on your body.
Hey, Dom, I did want to get your thoughts on the Zach Werenski saga. I know just covering the organization as forever, you know, for the length of the franchise, just the thoughts on how that whole thing played out.
I don't know, and I still don't. Do we know for sure what's going to happen? I mean, I was listening to you guys earlier. I still don't think we know for sure what's going to happen. I hope they get it worked out. I want to see guys that want to be here, want to stay here, want to win a Stanley Cup here. And it seems like this franchise always is having to do do-overs. We're gonna go back, and I don't know. It makes me crazy, and the fans deserve better. I feel bad for the McConnell family because they have put a lot of money and you know, Mr. Mack, I think about him, and Mr. Wolf and Ron Pizzuti and the leadership that brought this team here. I want to see the Blue Jackets win a Stanley Cup, but you can't do it if you're every 3-4 years starting over. You know what I mean? You need consistency. Ask the Cleveland Browns. Ask any professional team. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look at continuity, consistency is what brings championships.
Well,
changes with coaches and all that stuff, it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. Speaking of consistency, Ohio State camp starts in about a month. They're pretty consistent here in the last 10 to 20 years. What, you got any burning questions or things you're really looking forward to getting out on the field and seeing, you know, come camp time?
I really want to see Julian Sain this year. I think he's going to take a major step in the right direction. I mean, everyone thinks it's a foregone conclusion that he'll be out of here at the end of this year. I don't know. He might come back. I'm going to throw that one out there. I think he could come back for another year. We'll see how he does. If he goes out and wins the Heisman and is the top player in the draft, obviously. But I think Ohio State, I think we can agree they're going to play the toughest schedule in America this year. And I love what Ryan Day, you know, he embraced the transfer portal this year. To me, the burning questions is, and you know firsthand, Jay-Z, you know, with the Ohio, you know, the meshing of the team. Well, this is pro football now with all the free agents you brought in. And so you got to create that chemistry. I'll be very interested to see how they do that and if they've been able to do that. I know they put a lot of it on Coach Mick this summer to bring these guys together. They all can play football. They all pass the look test. We know they can do that. But, you know, the game changed. We saw what Indiana did. We saw that, you know, and Ohio State had the method the year before when they won the national title. They had an older team. And that's what's going to win in today's world of college football. But I'll be very interested to see what Julian Sain does. I think, you know, he's worked very hard to put on weight. He looks like a different guy. And I think he's going to run this year a little bit. I mean, and I heard what you said, Jay-Z. You don't, we don't want him to go out there and be a running quarterback. But there's going to be situations where he's got to read the pocket, where he's going to have to know. And to me, that was the big difference a year ago. And I don't know how healthy he was, if he was able to run as much as, you know, some of the fans were asking for when the opportunity presented. But I think that is going to be one of the things that's going to be in the repertoire this year, especially with the new offensive coordinator. And I think Ohio State's run game is also going to get a little beefed up this year. I'm very interested to see what we do offensively from that standpoint, the run game in general, but to see how Julian Sain takes that next step.
And Julian's got to make smart choices to keep his body upright and able to go throughout a long college football season. Dom, same goes for you. We need you to get some rest and back here 100% by the time football camp rolls around. Can you do that for us?
Yeah, I'm going to go do some monkey rolls right now.
All right, bud. Be well. We'll talk with you next week.
All right, bye-bye.
And Dommy joins us courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We've got Thing or Not a Thing coming up next and a $2.5 million fraud scheme by kind of a college basketball fraud. That's next. Bishop and Friends on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
You ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
Eric Reeser, Justin Zwick, Ryan Baker with you until noon today. Our thanks to Uncle Dom for joining us in the last segment after an e-bike mishap over the weekend put him in the emergency room. Doing better.
Gotta be careful with those buttons on those e-bikes.
Man, the best ability, easy for me to say, is availability. And he's got to be available for us in a month. So put him in a bubble, put him on ice, whatever you can. Get him out to get
National
him healthy.
Treasure, that one, old Dommy.
For Ohio State's fall camp, which again starts in a month. Buckeyes, several of them will be headed to Chicago at the end of this month July 28th, 29th, and the 30th for Big Ten Media Days. I think Ohio State's scheduled for that Tuesday, July 29th, day two there in Chicago. Going on right now in Frisco at the headquarters of the Dallas Cowboys, the 2026 Monster Energy Big 12 Football Media Days. Which is a hell of a sponsor.
I can't get over that. I don't know why.
A conference that makes zero fireworks. The Big Ten's is presented by Discover, so not as aggressive, I would say, and not necessarily a thing.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
So this news came down yesterday from the Justice Department. And I think when you play six seasons of college basketball at four schools, you're a little bit of a fraudulent college basketball player. Like, you participated, but
you're bouncing around that much, yeah.
Kerr Creasa, a former Arizona, West Virginia, Kentucky, then Cincinnati basketball player, was indicted on an alleged $2.2 million fraud scheme. According to the DOJ, Creasa allegedly carried out a scheme to obtain nearly $2.2 million from multiple victims using false representations, fabricated identities, and deceptive communications. The DOJ indictment says Creasa convinced one victim to send him money after lying that his mother needed funds for cancer treatment. The indictment alleges Creasa portrayed various individuals, including fake contacts and family members, and falsely claimed his family was in danger. So he's a 6'3 guard from Estonia. His best season came at West Virginia, where he had 11 points per game. He was considered a top European player back in 2020 before he signed with the Arizona Wildcats. Thing or not a thing?
When I originally saw this headline, I thought thing right away because I thought it was going to be some kind of betting fraud or something along those lines. But then when you read it, not a thing. I don't know. I mean, you get phone calls every day from spam that somebody's trying to get money from you. I mean, this stuff happens every day, unfortunately, to good people. And I don't necessarily feel bad for them when it does happen. I know it stinks, but if you get got by somebody, that's, you got to mind your P's and Q's when you're giving money out to somebody and trying to help somebody, and you want to know exactly what's going on. So for me, not a thing, I guess.
So I don't know what this kid's background is growing up in Estonia. I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing if he's a basketball player that was one of the top European rated, he's probably, who knows, he might even played professionally before he came over here and had some money. So I don't want to judge on this kid's background or not, but if you're doing stuff like this, chances are you're just a bad person. Like, you're, and I know he's young, he's 22, but he's doing this, he's of age, he's over 18. It's just a bad thing to do. And hopefully this kid can serve whatever punishments here he has and he can turn his life around, but this is not a good path to be going on this young in life.
Yeah, pretty low when you've got a lie about your mother needing
cancer treatments in. That's no bueno. You can't be throwing that out there. And to, you know, you just wonder, is it keeping up with the Joneses? Was he not getting the NIL that other people were getting and he was trying to fit in? And you know, there could be a lot that goes into it, but when you're frauding people out of their hard-earned money, I have no sympathy for it.
So Baker put this in front of me this morning, and it's a really cool thing. The U.S. Navy operates a 50,000-acre forest in Indiana, which I guess now means we have something in Indiana that is of interest to us. The forest is, the entire job is keeping one wooden ship from 1797 afloat. The USS Constitution, a.k.a. Old Ironsides, is the world's oldest commissioned warship still afloat. Old Ironsides has gotten in action 1812. Cannonballs bounced off the hull. 2 feet of solid wood the hull's made out of. The problem with owning a 229-year-old wooden ship is you can't just buy parts for that. Like the hull, the planks, which are 40 feet long and 7 inches thick. So the Navy, they grow it.
Yep.
Constitution Grove at Naval Supply Activity Crane holds trees over 100 years old, reserved exclusively for the ship. Every 20 years or so, the ship goes into dry dock and shipwrights swap out the rotted timber. After two centuries, estimates put the original 1797 wood at maybe 10 to 15% of the actual ship today. Thing or not a thing?
That's a thing. I love that. I was reading that article this morning. Just, I didn't know it was there. Had no idea. but then like we grow our own trees just to keep this thing alive. Like that's only something I think America does, and I love it.
So Congress protected this ship through some kind of preservation act, and what? I mean, that's a cool story to think that this thing was in a war in 1812. Yeah,
been around for a long time,
and it's still functional. And 40-foot. Wood like planks,
single pieces of wood
that they're just like, building. Like it takes 20 years to grow these trees or whatnot. Just a cool story, and to think that they're preserving just this forest for keeping this ship afloat. Like it makes me want to see wherever this ship is docked at some time and go see it.
Go take it. I'm sure they do tours on it. Yeah. Like go step on it and just walk around it. Like I think that'd be really cool.
The history
is docked in Boston Harbor. The forest is in Indiana, so I guess not necessarily going to the forest. Well,
I thought
to
I saw
see
a picture
it.
Of it, like in a little.
But in Boston Harbor is where you could go actually step onto the ship.
40 feet long, 7-inch thick planks in the hull of this boat.
Pretty impressive. Florida Panthers wingers Brady and Matthew Tkachuk host the Wingmen podcast. Elliot Friedman, NHL reporter, says an episode with their dad, Keith, became a point of contention in the Ottawa Senators locker room.
I broke my wrist or something in the Olympics, so yes, that's what happens. You play through injuries, guys. Holy Christ, this whole team.
Ah, my pinky hurts. I'm out for 6 days.
Dude, that was coming. I knew right when he said that. I'm like, don't say it. I'm like, don't you say it.
I just had a bad sleep, so I can't play today.
Oh, my God. Disgusting.
All right. Well, we're going to move on here.
Can't play back-to-back.
So
risk management.
That is crazy. I mean, back-to-back, that used to not be whatever. But
Grant Fuhrer played 70 games in 1 year.
Thing or not a thing.
So that's the dad talking with his sons
the
on their
dad
podcast.
Is taking shots at current players in the league. And a lot of people think that he was taking shots specifically at Brady's former team, the Ottawa Senators.
And the dad just got inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Well, that's something good to know.
He's a long-time NHL player.
Yeah, so that's not a thing then. If you got an old-timer telling you what his opinion is on the game and what these guys are nowadays compared to when he was there, it happens all the time in every sport, I feel like. You get the Hall of Famers, the old guys looking back saying, ah, back in our day, you know, they used to be able to hit the quarterback, or we used to be able to hit people and not get kicked out of games. So, not a thing for me. that would be terrible for the players, though. Like, Dad, keep your mouth shut. Like, we don't need this.
That'd be a little bit of an issue.
That's unfortunate, but, well, I mean, the guy knows what he's doing, though. He's a hockey player. He's a Hall of Famer. Like,
right.
He can say what he wants.
And I'm guessing some of this obviously rubbed off on Brady, and maybe Brady had some of those feelings towards some of the players as well. Who knows? I think this is such a hard thing. We talk about it with load management all the time. Like, I don't know if LeBron James came up with that or the teams came up with that to keep him going. They talk about it all the time in baseball now. A guy goes in a slump, we got to give him a day off. Like, is that the player or is that the team? Because maybe the player, and I know everybody has different pain tolerances. There's a difference between playing hurt and playing injured and all of those things. I always have an old school mentality. Like, if I can be out there, I'm playing regardless. But it's just different, and I don't know if it's the athlete's fault or if it's the adults who put these things in place for these kids to.
I think the money's gotten so big that the organizations are now like, all right, Well, we got to keep these guys around. We don't want to wear them down, you know, come playoff time or the end of the year.
But it is true. Like, you probably played with some guys that it would have sat this guy down, but this guy wouldn't have changed a thing.
Yeah. We talked about Julian Sane here in the last hour and disrespect given to Ohio State's quarterback. There are those out there, NFL people, NFL talent evaluators, that love number 10. We'll discuss that next. It's Bishop and Friends.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. While we're on LeBron watch for the next few days, the Cavaliers and Donovan Mitchell agreed to a four-year max extension worth $273 million. The 29-year-old Mitchell is set to make $60 million next season, $65 million after that, then $70 million with a player option in 2030. In tennis, Coco Gauff advanced to the semifinals at Wimbledon with a win this morning over Jessica Pegula. Naomi Osaka looks to join her in the semi. She'll play her quarterfinal match in moments. In the World Cup Tuesday, Argentina battles Egypt at noon. Switzerland takes on Colombia at 4. The final para games in the round of 16. The quarterfinals begin Thursday. Belgium advanced Monday with a 4-1 win over Team USA. They'll take on Spain Friday at 3. In baseball, we're 1 week out from the All-Star game in Philly. The Reds host the Phillies tonight at 7:10. The Guardians are at the Twins Tuesday at 7:40. This update is sponsored by United Dairy Farmers. Peach ice cream is back at UDF. Right now, get two large cartons of UDF peach ice cream for just $10.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yeah, bummer against Belgium last night. 4-1 in Seattle, in case you missed it. Or in case you're like Justin, and as soon as Belgium goes up 2-1 in the 33rd minute after Team USA equalizes things in the 31st minute, you probably felt, well, that's good.
Yep.
All the time I got to give to that.
I put my time in.
Unfortunate. Because you were really hoping that while you might not beat Belgium, you'd have a better showing than that. Yeah. And now where was momentum is little. Momentum.
Yeah, there's like, no, this is not what we wanted to happen. You had a bunch of people out. I mean, friends of mine going to parties watching last night. And I mean, the atmosphere, I imagine, all around the city, all the watch parties, maybe even Dom's, even though he was had an ice pack on. Was excitement, and then the game starts, and go down one. All right,
we go down one in the ninth minute.
Yeah, in the ninth minute, like my girls were like, "Oh, what is this? What is 0-0?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's gonna be 0-0 for a long time, probably." And then 9 minutes in, I'm like, "Well, never mind. I just lied to you guys. We're gonna have some scoring going on in this game. We match it, and then you're like, "All right, we're back." And then you know what? 2-3 minutes later, it's like you didn't have a good feeling, and then they let them get that one back on you, and it just didn't feel good.
When did you guys know it was over?
33rd minute.
After that
and
goal.
That was the 2-1 goal?
I had a bad feeling in the first minute.
Yeah.
Where
it didn't look like we came out to match the intensity.
There was no energy and intensity out of the gate. Yeah. They looked timid for most of the first half. Like the idea that the announcers were almost begging Team USA to get to the hydration break was, if the ninth minute didn't do it for you, that probably should have been the time where you're like, see you next time around.
They had their first save with like the 82nd minute or something like that.
The Team USA's first shot on goal. Yeah. You're right. The first save by Belgium's keeper was made in the 82nd minute.
That's not good.
No. So Belgium moves on. They'll play Spain Friday at 3:00. Those are two more evenly matched teams that I think you would have seen with Team USA and the Spanish. At this point, they're just playing different sports. Mm.
So I just saw on the screen up here as they're showing highlights that Team USA had 7 shots on goal. So they had 5 shots in the final 8 minutes and only 2 in the first 82.
Yeah, that sounds right, because the goal for Team USA came on a penalty kick.
Yeah, it came on a penalty kick. And then, I've read this morning. I, of course, was not watching in the 82nd minute, but what I saw today was they had their first save at like 82 minutes.
Yeah. Wow.
Matt Freeze, Team USA's goalie, had the blunder of the tournament, I think, something that he'll probably never be able to get over. In the 52nd minute, he was looking to clear, and instead of kicking the ball, his foot kicked the turf.
What kicker did that? Didn't a kicker do that last year in the NFL? Younwei
Koo?
Yeah, I think you might be right.
For the New York Giants, I want to say, instead of the ball.
Yeah, instead of the ball.
His boot met the turf. And for the World Cup.
So it can happen.
Happens to the best of us?
It can happen.
And it tells you how good like all of these guys are, kickers in the NFL. It's actually a miracle this doesn't happen more often, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been a kicker. I'm not going to say anything about it, but I don't know how you put your foot into the ground. Yeah, I mean, I guess I throw my driver into the ground every now and then. I'm not supposed to do that.
Well, that's the thing. When it's real grass, you can see the chunk coming out of it. And so when the Giants kicker did it, it was at least artificial. Yeah. And so it didn't make the comical grass tuft come out of the ground. But that was, if not for...
And that's when they go up 3-1 right then, right? So we're still in the game, technically.
Well, yeah.
But that 3-1 makes it like, we're not overcoming.
So that. I guess we'll see you in 2030 in Spain, Morocco, and Portugal for that World Cup.
I'm sorry to change the subject totally here.
Oh, we're about to anyway. No, okay. You're good. This is the last soccer you're getting for a long time on this program.
You mentioned the driver... And I heard Beam and Austin talking last night, driving around on the Buckeye Show. How did you play in the Marysville Marathon?
I didn't get to play this year. No, I've missed the last two because my sister decides she wants to bring the family down for the fourth and hang out. And I
selfish.
Yeah, you know, I tell her, like, I got 36 I got to play, but she doesn't care. She wants me around, and I got to be at the pool with the kids. So
you were not there.
I've missed it. Yeah, that's a bummer. I haven't heard the story yet. I know Beam took the trophy home. But Austin yesterday at Roosters told me, he's like, I'm going to need some time to get into this one. So I don't know what happened, but I'm looking forward to hearing the story.
You'll hear more on the Buckeye Show tonight at 6 o'clock.
Sounded like Gary Pettit had a day.
Oh, is that right?
That's what I heard. So,
yeah. Talked in the last hour, Ohio State's quarterback room. CBS Sports says they're the fifth best quarterback room in the country, headlined by Julian Sain and Tavian St. Clair. Oregon's got the top with Dante Moore and Dylan Raiola, and I'm fine with that. Dylan's no scrub. He's fine. But if you're going to put Texas, the Utah quarterback room, Ole Miss's quarterback room ahead of Ohio State, I've got some questions. Though I do think with CBS Sports, with ESPN, with a lot of these places, you're doing that to get the clicks and get the engagement from Ohio State. So I guess in that instance, mission accomplished. For Pro Football Focus, they have their 50 best players in college football ahead of the 2026 season. And so Dalton Wasserman, Max Chadwick for Pro Football Focus. And we have Dalton Wasserman on the program a lot. They rolled out the rankings that have the 50 best players using PFF grades, advanced data, and future projection rather than traditional statistics alone. And so not to get too in the weeds with those, they've got a grade for each of these players. And I think they do a job of grading all college football players with production last season and then with projected production this season. Jeremiah Smith is their number one player in college football for the second year in a row. I guess only Trevor Lawrence has been PFF's best returning college football player. It's pretty good company to be in. Jeremiah Smith, though, I don't think is surprising anybody that they say, yeah, based off of numbers.
They've been saying that since his freshman year.
He is.
There's, you know, you don't love to anoint those guys or really like, let's see a little bit how he does. But first game of the year, like, first practice.
He's the unicorn.
He is, you know, I mean, that's time. It's wild that he is just that good, but he is that good, yeah. And you know he should be at the top of this list.
At number two, Leonard Moore, the quarterback or cornerback, I should say, for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and that's fair. He's one of the top defensive backs in the country. And this is according to not only numbers guys like at Pro Football Focus, but NFL talent evaluators say that he is going to be one of those highly sought after defensive backs. So I'm okay there. At three, Colin Simmons, defensive end of the Texas Longhorns. I think he won the Sean Alexander
freshman
of the year over Jeremiah Smith. And so for whatever that's worth, Simmons is great. And so I don't think there's too much if you're projecting what he's going to do now entering his third season in Texas. But at four, Julian Sain. And it only makes the most sense in the world that he would be, according to the numbers people, the top returning quarterback. Because he was, according to the numbers, one of the top, if not the top, quarterback in the country last season, where you had mentioned only a handful of times, if not maybe two quarterbacks ever had a better completion percentage through a college football season than Ohio State signal caller in his first season.
Yeah, and I mean, those guys were Bo Nix, who was a fifth or sixth year guy when he had it, and Mac Jones,
who
was an older guy. I mean, Julian came out and did that in his first year as a starter. So at least somebody who's making a list.
Sanity.
Yeah, somebody who's making a list is saying, hold on, we got the only guy who was at the Heisman last year coming back to play another year. He must have been pretty good last year. We're going to go ahead and put him in the top five. He didn't make the top five of quarterback rooms in the other list. He was number five. Well, yeah, I guess he was number five.
They were fifth.
So they were fifth. But
behind Devin Gampier.
Yes, so that's somebody Utah's at least has quarterback, some sense. Yes.
Whom, again, I have not heard of. And that's mostly on me for not knowing
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you know what you know about him. He wasn't in New York last year.
He sure wasn't.
He's not coming back. And you know, from that,
I'm just scrolling again. Pro Football Focus every season before the college football year kicks off, they have their top 50 players, and I'm just scrolling, and I cannot find a Utah player, much less their quarterback. So I don't say this to say he's a scrub or to disparage him at all, but to have him in the same conversation with guys like Dante Moore, with guys like Julian Saint. Dante Moore, Pro Football Focus has as their seventh highest rated returning player. There's just different levels to this.
Yeah.
Arch Manning is not, at least of this scrolling, he's number 9 on this. Mm-hmm. There's just, again, a difference in
I was kind of surprised there's no Austin Cerevelt or something on this list.
At least not in the top 15.
That I saw, yeah.
You gotta do some scrolling on this.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of scrolling. But so they might be in there. I just, when I went through it quickly this morning, I didn't see anything. I thought maybe he would be a guy that they'd feel pretty good about putting on that list the way he played at left tackle last year.
I do not see Cerevelt in there. And again, this is their top 50, so a lot of deserving players, but probably a lot of players that you could argue as one of, if not part of, the best 50.
Yeah.
This season.
Well, we got two in the top five. That's a pretty good start.
You had mentioned, Reese, that Dalton Wasserman was a part of this, and we've heard him on this show before, and we know he's a Julian Sain fan. I saw that he retweeted or quote tweeted a tweet from Bucky Brooks, who evaluates talent for the NFL Network, mm-hmm. and he just said this in all capital letters with a bunch of exclamation points, and this was Bucky Brooks on Julian Sain. Taking an early look at the 2027 quarterback class, I can see a bunch of offensive coordinator, quarterback coaches falling in love with Ohio State quarterback Julian Sain. As a quick rhythm passer with terrific touch, timing, and anticipation, he would be a perfect fit in a variation of the West Coast offense that allows for this. And when I couldn't help reading that, we so many times with Bo on this show and Kevin Stefanski being with the Browns, this is the exact kind of quarterback Kevin Stefanski is looking for. Somebody that steps back, sees it, reads it, and slings it.
And I think what's going to help Julian, what probably did him a disservice last season, was you had Texas that everybody watched, and then you didn't have anything till Michigan that everybody watched, and then the other two games, Indiana and Miami. So a 4-game sample size from most of college football would say, Julian's fine, but against great competition, he was not. And I think with a tougher schedule this season, but with a year and a off season that actually has him as the quarterback and not doing a competition, I think will make for a really big year out of Sain. That I will disagree with Dom and say there's no chance Sain comes back. I think this is, he goes into the NFL and it's Tavian St. Clair's team next season.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because I could see a scenario where he comes back. Not saying that he's not going to be really good this year, but you just got to remember, these guys are making a ton of money doing college football nowadays. So unless you're going to be, for sure a top 5, top 10 pick, I'm going to go back and make $5-10 million in college for another year, and then I'll try my luck again next year. Speaking it doesn't stink to be in college, to be a college football player.
No, to be the top flight, to be the quarterback at Big State U, the biggest State U amongst most of the State U's, is a pretty good place to be. Speaking of money, has Deshaun Watson finally paid off for the Cleveland Browns? That's next. Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30. And he works blue.
Okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have a partly cloudy sky ahead for the rest of the day. There's a slight chance of a stray shower or storm, but most of us ought to stay dry with highs in the mid-80s. Overnight, partly cloudy skies, patches of fog once again with lows in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, partial sunshine, a little warmer, upper 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
We'll have Keith Smith of Spotrac on in about 10 minutes. break down the Donovan Mitchell contract, what an extension for Spida means for the Cleveland Cavaliers. We are all still on LeBron watch and see if Keith thinks some of the teams in the East have done enough to put them over the New York Knicks, to put them in legitimate NBA championship conversation. I saw this when we got off the air yesterday, Justin, from Pro Football Talk, and I'll just read the headline because I think that's the biggest thing people got ahead of themselves with. NFLPA records show more than $88 million in Browns cap credits for Deshaun Watson injuries. Now, I've maintained that the Deshaun Watson deal that the Cleveland Browns did was the worst in NFL history. One of, if not the worst in sport. Because not only did you bring on a very troubled football player who quit on the Houston Texans before fleecing them out of a contract, you helped reset the Texans franchise with picks that equated to players that they used right away. And because they've been so bad, he hasn't played since 2024 because of an Achilles, and he's had several other injuries, and he's been suspended. It was one of the key facilitators for not having Myles Garrett on this Browns roster anymore, because you're not winning so long, in my opinion, as Deshaun Watson's under contract. And so when you see that the Browns have $88 million in cap credits for his injuries because of insurance, you go, well, that's great. At least he's helping them somehow. And Mike Florio does a job of explaining how he gets to that number where he's got credits, just the insurance claims that the Browns have put in for the contract, which is the worst in sport, that Deshaun Watson's getting all $230 million of, can help them in some way, shape, or form over the next couple of years to like 2029 because they've restructured the deal so many times. And I just think if that's what you're going to trot out there as a positive for the Deshaun Watson thing, it really does echo how bad this was. Like, look! Insurance credit is the only thing they're going to get from this Deshaun Watson other than a headache.
Yes.
In my opinion.
I agree with you there because he hasn't put anything on the field that's been worth it. And he's missed 11 games his first year, and then he missed the whole season last year. I mean, he's missed a ton. It has been not a great trade. But we're kind of going through what feels like a little bit of a rebuild, maybe. You know, got rid of Miles, bring in a young defensive end who can...
Jared Verse is certainly an exception.
Our last couple draft classes have been pretty solid. You know, so we got young guys under contract. So maybe, being the optimist that I'm not...
yeah.
You know,
Are you sure you're rooting for the right NFL team, Justin?
I mean, you know, moving sure into that? 2028, 2029, if we have some extra money that we were able to use, you know... It's better than not having it, I guess, is what I mean. It's better than just giving him $230 million, not getting anything on the field, and not getting anything on the back end.
So according to Pro Football Talk's calculations, as I throw my pen across the room in anger, Browns are set for 7.98 in 2025 against the cap. They're going to get 8.781 for 26, 7.9 million for 20, again for 26, 8 for 27, 8 for 28. There are other cap experts out there that have disputed those numbers, say they're closer to the $800,000-$900,000 mark. And so however they want to calculate these out, the PA, the Browns, none of them have made comment on this. So all of this is speculative, but it doesn't do a damn for me as a Browns fan because this is horrible and there's no way to walk through this there that the Browns end up better outside of next June when they can get rid of him is the only way through and out of this. And so don't miss me on these cap on these insurance cap credits. Miss me on the idea, well, if he plays well, they might have to extend him. Like, I think that's the silliest conversation you can have right now. I think he's going to play. I don't want him to play. I want Shedeur Sanders out there because I
put him out there, see what you have.
If you give him the full season, if you give him the full offseason and you throw him in as the number one, I think you have to put your confidence behind him because he's a player that thrives off of that. Mm-hmm. I do think it's a little easier if you're Todd Monken and the plan is Sanders, throw out Watson first because then Watson can be the guy that everybody's Sanders can be the guy everybody's clamoring for. Mm-hmm. You throw out Sanders and he stinks. Well, then you got to give the fans Watson is a very tough spot to be in. I also think for Todd Monken, he can't worry really about that. He's just got to worry about the player that gives me the best chance to win. Like, Todd Monken's not sitting there going, well, shoot, if Watson plays really well, we're going to have to give him more money in the offseason. Monken's got to worry about how do we win games.
Yeah. It's my first year. I got to go out and win games.
I don't care about what these players have done. I don't care about what these players have cost. Not my money. Haslam's a propensity to spend a ton of money on things. I've got to win football games. Which quarterback does that the best for me is all he can think about. And so that's all I've got with Todd Monken on. I don't blame him for any of this because he didn't do it. He wasn't here for it.
It's funny you mentioned the Browns and a quarterback that thrives on getting behind him and giving him confidence. I believe this front office had a quarterback like that, and they didn't do that.
Beating that dead horse.
Maybe it's better just if funny. We had him still.
Just beating just, that one.
It seems like it's all dead horses with the Browns at this point. And yeah. I think it's fun to have this conversation with the Browns. Not really fun, but you get what I'm saying with putting lipstick on a pig and the Deshaun Watson contract. The only thing that makes this Deshaun Watson experience palatable at all is if he goes out there and he plays well this year. And then, Reese, as you mentioned, you're in the conundrum, and I know you don't want to talk about it at all, but then you're in the conundrum of, well, we still need a quarterback. He just did well with us. Do we go ahead and re-up with him? And gosh, you would hope if that ever happened that maybe Deshaun would pay them back a little bit and sign a team contract. Right. But that we know that's not happening at all.
I think he'd have to go out and win a Super Bowl for the Browns for them to bring him back.
See, I don't believe so at all.
No?
If he went out there, and I don't think this is happening. I don't believe this is happening. But if he goes out there and quarterbacks the Cleveland Browns to the playoffs this year, he's coming back. He's your quarterback next year. I don't believe that's happening.
No, I'll bet you on that. They're going to win more than five games.
I don't believe that's happening. But if it does, he's your quarterback next year.
Yes, if. Biggest damn if you could possibly send out
well,
there.
If he plays well, yeah.
I saw this from ESPN that they ranked the best NFL rosters entering the 2026 season. They've got the Rams at number one, obviously. At 15, the Cincinnati Bengals. I know we usually do higher or lower later in the week, but Justin, when I say to you the Bengals are in the middle of the road roster-wise for the NFL, would you say that's a little higher, too high for the Bengals, or low?
I think that might be a little high. I like what they've done on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they let their best player go on that side, but they've replaced him.
I'm bullish on this Bengals team in terms of what they did in the offseason and the roster that they've
if
got.
Joe can stay healthy.
Biggest different sport.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Probably bigger than the Deshaun thing.
Yeah.
If you can keep Burrow healthy for an entire season. For what it's worth, the Browns have the 31.
I love it. I love being an underdog.
Starting projection. They're roster or their starting lineup is ranked 31st.
By the way, Reese, I mean, we've talked about this before that the Bengals were 25-1 to win the Super Bowl. Well, some more people must have been jumping on that because it's 20-1 now for the Bengals.
It's pretty good.
Not bad.
There's one team in Ohio that can make a legitimate playoff run. It is not the team wearing orange and brown. The Cleveland Cavaliers, another ownership group that likes to spend. They spent big on Donovan Mitchell. We'll get Keith Smith's thoughts on that spider extension coming up in 2 minutes. It's Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bo knows many people.
He talks to the interesting ones on this show.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Eric Reeser, Justin Zwick, Ryan Baker rolling with you until noon today. And we're still on LeBron watch. And I was all set to start doing LeBron questions with our next guest. We got out of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Bring on Keith Smith. He's the host of the Front Office Show, contributor to SpoTrack. And LeBron watch is going to be the topic. Then the Cavaliers gave Donovan Mitchell a 4-year maximum contract extension. Keith, thanks so much for the time today. What did you think of the Cavs move this morning?
Yeah, interesting. And, you know, good for the Cavs to get that locked up and done with Donovan Mitchell. This is something that could have kind of hung over them for a little while, and you're dealing with uncertainty there. But now this is locked in. And now if you're Cleveland, you know, all right, we have our guy here with Mitchell. We have Mobley. We have Allen, all in long-term deals. And now you have some certainty as you kind of move forward with figuring out how you're going to build out the rest of this roster and the like. So I think they're in pretty good position with that. It's a lot of money for Donovan Mitchell, but that's how it was always going to be, whether it was in Cleveland or somewhere else. I think the Cavs are very happy that it's in Cleveland.
Yeah, this deal getting done this morning. What does that tell us about any LeBron James coming to Cleveland chances? Does that help or hurt?
Yeah, I don't know that it has any real difference on that, because Mitchell was always going to be there this upcoming season anyway, and LeBron's not making any decisions beyond this upcoming season only. So I think whatever they've pitched to LeBron and Clutch Sports has already been pitched as, you know, hey, Mitchell's here, and here's what we're going to do, and this is what the team will look like, we think, on the back end if you join us. But I don't think the long-term impact of having Mitchell in the fold changes anything other than at least that distraction or potential distraction has been removed.
Keith, when do you think LeBron's going to make a decision?
You know, I wish I knew. I'd like to plan it. I'm on a flight to Las Vegas for Summer League on Thursday, and that's from the East Coast. That's going to be a good chunk of travel. So I'd like it to get done while I'm not in the air, but who knows? You know, well, the biggest thing I've learned with LeBron is when it's these things, LeBron works on LeBron's time, and he's going to let us know when he's ready, and that's it. I would assume maybe today or tomorrow, just so everybody can kind of get moving on with any other work they got to do, but we'll see, you know, how that comes together.
It sounded like when the LeBron stuff was first out there that he was not going to give a discount, and then it became that he would take the veteran exception $15 million, I believe, deal. If he does that, is that the best contract in the NBA right now?
It'll be way, way up there for sure. I mean, he is LeBron is still producing at a max level. He's slowed down, but that's only from his, you know, insanely high, you know, bar that he had set for himself before all of this. So I think, you know, we're in a position with LeBron where it becomes, all right, let's see, you know, where we go, you know, with this with him. But it's, yeah, I mean, certainly will be a fantastic value if it's, you know, anywhere the $15 million non-taxpayer MLE or it's certainly anything below that, you're feeling really great about having his services at that number.
Get the NBA Front Office Podcast wherever it is you do your podcasting. One of the co-hosts is kind enough to join us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. He is Keith Smith of SpoTrack. And one of the things that I had hoped for LeBron was to get together with the Golden State Warriors and kind of do what I was calling, Keith, the Wild Hogs Warriors, where you had a bunch of guys that are getting up there in age, getting together and really make a competitive kind of fun run at what's becoming a younger Western Conference. What do you see with the Warriors this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, they're one of a handful of teams that's kind of waiting on LeBron to figure out the rest of their business. And much like the Cavs, who are waiting on, all right, LeBron, what are you going to do? Then we'll figure it out with James Harden and whatever comes next. The Warriors are in a similar position where they're saying, all right, LeBron, once you tell us what you're going to do, we'll figure it out with Draymond Green and whatever comes next after that. So once that decision is made, they'll move on. But you're absolutely right. I mean, they're in a very interesting position where Al Horford re-signed there, Kristaps Porzingis re-signed there, De'Anthony Melton's coming back. You've got Curry, eventually Jimmy Butler, we think. Maybe sometime around January, February, we'll start playing again. And if you add LeBron to that mix, you know, I've heard people say, well, they got all the G's, so they're the Olden State Warriors. So that's, you know, another joke that's being made out there. But, yeah, certainly would be really interesting. I mean, that would be one of the, you know, fun teams to watch here is all this kind of comes together with, you know, with the passing and just the basketball IQ they can put on the floor. It'd certainly be a, you know, fun basketball experiment, if you will.
Free agency has been going on for, you know, a couple of weeks now. Jaylen Brown got traded. That's a big one last week. Has there been a move or a contract that you've seen that, you know, really fits with an organization or you think, you know, has been a really good deal?
Yeah, I think the Hornets, this trade will get done sometime in the next couple of days, but the Hornets, Nets, Bulls, Wolves, LaMelo Ball trade is certainly interesting. It's kind of a, you know, the Hornets basically saying, hey, we want Naz Reid, and we're resetting, moving on from LaMelo Ball, Miles Bridges. We're going to reset around our younger core and go forward from there. I mean, it feels like Giannis got traded 2 months ago when so many other things have happened. But clearly that's, a monster trade there. You mentioned the Brown for Paul George swap. That's going to be a big one. I don't fully understand Portland getting John Morant, but they didn't give up much to get him. So that's kind of an interesting look there. And then Kawhi Leonard back to Toronto is also, another one of those ones where it's like, wow, this is, really something. And then on the contract side, it's the Lakers just, moving on from LeBron and the rest of the guys and bringing in Walker Kessler and Quentin Grimes and Sandro Mamukelashvili and bringing in Colin Sexton and just kind of, retooling their entire roster around Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves. We're going to see how that works out.
You guys mentioned the Jaylen Brown trade going from the Celtics to the 76ers. We heard Brad Stevens with some comments this week about 70% of the cap being up and tied up in two players, and that's why they had to make the deal. Do you believe that their cap situation was that bad that they had to make this deal? Is that the reason this happened, or is it something else?
I think it's part of it. I don't think there was one reason to do this trade. I think it was the Celtics recognizing, all right, we've kind of hit the ceiling here with the Tatum-Brown pairing, and in order to put the right guys around them, it's going to cost us all of our depth, and even then, we may not have enough depth to go forward. So I think now they're in a spot where it is, okay, we're going to move. We're going to move Jaylen Brown. We're going to reset our cap sheet a little bit here in a couple years. It's been completely painted as, well, they did this because they're cheap and they're trying to get off money, because they didn't get off any money right now. And yes, if we are sitting here 2 years from now and Jaylen Brown is on the Sixers at 60 plus million and the Celtics are like, no, can't spend any money, even though Paul George has come off the books. All right, well then have Adam, because that's, not the way they painted this out. They're basically saying, we want to turn Jaylen Brown and that 60 plus million into two or three players a couple years down the line. And they think Paul George is still good enough to keep them competitive now with adding guys like Mitchell Robinson to the team. So I think they feel pretty good about where they're going with that. So we'll see, how that all comes together. But I think they just determined cap-wise, basketball-wise, it was time to move on from Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, Keith, you had mentioned it does feel like 30 days ago was when the Giannis Antetokounmpo stuff went down and they announced the trade. And then it was weird to kind of watch him narrate his own goodbye video from the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday. Where does that deal put Miami in the East in terms of the hierarchy?
Yeah, that's a great question because, the East got a lot better here over the course of the last, let's call it, few weeks since the draft, because you have Toronto went big to get Kawhi Leonard. They're going to be better next year. Philadelphia is going to be better with adding Jaylen Brown, and then they added some nice role players in Dean Wade and Anthony Simons. The Knicks aren't going anywhere. They're still there. They're going to be really good. I don't think Boston's going to fall off much at all, because you're getting a full season back of Jason Tatum. You're adding Paul George and Mitchell Robinson. They should still be pretty good. Cleveland, LeBron or not, is still going to be a really good team. We'll see what the Pistons are doing. They're kind of the wild card in all this, because we don't know what's going on with Jalen Duren. The Pacers have kind of been forgotten. They're going to be good again. And then you've got Orlando is trying to win. And then even the teams at the bottom of the conference, like Chicago and Brooklyn and Washington, those teams all have veteran guys on their roster, and they're not going to be just god awful, because with the lottery reform, you can't be anymore. So I think with Miami, this is a long way of me not answering your question, but it feels like they're just in the mix with all these other teams. I'd put them a tier or two below the Knicks and the Cavs and the Raptors and maybe the Celtics. But I think a lot of this is going to be, can they find a little bit more depth on these veteran minimum deals to fill out their roster with? But they've still got quite a bit of work to do, and whether that comes this year or comes next year, we'll see. But yeah, definitely a interesting look there in Miami with Giannis and Tim Hardaway Jr., Bobby Portis re-signing Andrew Wiggins. That's going to be a good group.
Yeah, a wild NBA offseason, and we're not out of the woods on it yet. Get smarter about the National Basketball Association with the NBA Front Office Podcast. Our friend Keith Smith of Spotrac, kind enough to give us some of his time this morning. Keith, thanks so much, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
And he joins us courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Yeah, Justin, as I, you know, thought about Keith yesterday, I'm like, the smartest person I know in terms of cap situations that nobody really understands unless you're in it every day like Keith is. And like, even as he's flying out to Las Vegas from the East Coast for the NBA Summer League, it's like, when he lands, are you going to have LeBron to dive into? Which is crazy to think that with, you know, 2026, it's still like everything's kind of held up.
Everything is still about LeBron James 20 some years later.
LeBron James. Justin, I want to ask you a question about how many good reps you think you've got in you. I want you to answer that coming up next. Bishop and Friends.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's the Fan Call-In Show, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
What's the weather outside? Who cares? Bakers and shorts. This is Bishop and Friends.
So I don't know how this came about, but I do appreciate those in our YouTube chat that kind of do a show within the show. And somehow you got nominated for Aviators quarterback, Justin Zwick. And I wonder how many good reps you think you could give the Aviators in the 2027 UFL season. Because it would give you time.
Oh, yeah. If I have a year to get going for that bad boy. You put me in the gun, I might be able to sling it for a game or two. I don't know, depending on how many shots I take. But
that's, I think, the biggest thing, right?
You got to keep me upright. And, you know, the less dropbacks I have to take, the better, just because I'm getting old. But, you know, I get this clicking out of my shoulder after I start throwing a little bit. It lubricates itself at some point in time, and I'll be right back to it.
I tell you what I want to see is the first time the pocket breaks down and you take off.
No, I'm just going to take a knee.
I'm
just taking a knee right there.
Protect yourself.
Like, I'm in the pocket. It's breaking down. I'm just going down. I'm giving myself up.
And while that was brought up, it made me think about Brendan Sorsby, who's not allowed to play in the CFL, who will be eligible for the 2027 NFL draft. If he's just taking the year off and he's doing quarterback workouts, maybe it behooves him to jump into the UFL and get some game tape that's in the season or in the year that he will be draft eligible. Like, it's so difficult, I think, to take a year off and to not be involved with actual game.
Now, the only issue with that, I think they play during the draft, right? So it would be...
He would be playing during it.
Yeah.
However...
Would the NFL be mad about that, though?
See, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting practice, you're around a team, you're actually doing football...
I tell you what, Justin, I don't think they can be any angrier at him.
Yeah.
you've seen what they said about him and his appeal to get into what would have been the supplemental draft and to try to circumvent all.
Maybe he doesn't do it just because he's like, I'm just going to keep my head down. They told me what to do. I'm going to listen to him.
Yeah, and he would have, had Texas Tech maintained that he was to be their starter, this would have made the Monster Energy Big 12 football media days that much spicier. Brett Yormark was the first to the podium today at Frisco, Texas, and he was asked about the Brendan Sorsby situation from Yormark. Quote, today is not the time to address that issue. Today is about celebrating the upcoming football season and celebrating our 16 schools, end quote. Just address it and move on, man.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to talk
about it.
Come out with a statement. That's all I'm going to say on the subject. Let's move on.
Like, what, you don't think Joey McGuire is not going to be asked about it when he does a pool availability or when he takes the podium? I think Texas Tech did too much talking. I think they need to do, as the Big 12, more talking. And we held to our guns. Like, this is a little bit of a time for them to kind of flex, at least if Brett Yormark and athletic directors and attorneys general of like Utah, Oklahoma, and Kansas, if they were to push back against this, I think this is the time for them to peacock a little bit. We stuck to our guns. We did what was right for the sport.
Taking care of our players. I mean, we wanted to make sure this ended up right. You know, the judge, all that happened. We wanted to make sure this ended up right. And we knew that this was the best opportunity for our team to move forward and just get past this.
And Reese, it's not just the Monster Energy Big 12 media days.
It'll never get old.
The regular season is going to be branded as Monster Energy Big 12 football.
Oh, my.
They sponsored the whole season?
The whole league.
My goodness.
Get on it, Tony. Tony Petitti's got to figure out, are you going to get discovered a sponsor?
They said, and they said with this, some people were talking, this is why some teams are holding off on jersey patches, because part of this deal is a Monster Energy jersey patch on all Big 12 teams, and other conferences are looking into this.
You're getting the three stripes, not Adidas three stripes, the three stripes for Monster on your jerseys is going to be very different, because I think Adidas, Kansas, I think has Adidas, and so they got three stripes on one, the claw on the other.
Oh, goodness.
The Daily Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks, would you consider the 2026 World Cup a success for the United States? 60% of respondents say no. Justin, what say you?
The United States in general, yes. I think we've put on a good show, and the people coming over here have really enjoyed themselves and enjoyed the games and all that. So on that aspect, which is not what you're talking about, yes. As far as
it is an open-ended poll question sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub.
I mean, history tells us that it was a decent, you know, a decent World Cup because we haven't really ever gone further. But I woke up a little sad today, just like I was hoping for the comeback, just because it is fun. Everybody gets behind it. The country's behind it. Like that aspect, I love. So I was a little sad this morning waking up. So
I don't know if we can say this is the ceiling and call it not a success, right? Like if this is the best you can do. And we basically said this is the ceiling for Team USA in the World Cup right now. It's hard to say they hit their ceiling and say, well, that's not a success.
I think you can because of how
they played.
How the last 48 hours panned out for Team USA, where you get the news that President Trump called FIFA's head and said, you got to reverse this red card. You got to suspend or postpone the suspension incurred by the red card. And Flo Balogun's playing, and then Flo Balogun no-shows, and you do have some of your other stars for this U.S. men's team no-show. I do think you can take that and say this wasn't successful despite making it, Baker, to your point, where kind of the ceiling for the U.S. men's national team is. Time for three things on a Tuesday.
One, two,
three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, first thing for me, happy 80th birthday to Sylvester Stallone. Rocky, Rambo, 80 years today. Still looks like he did in his 50s.
Somehow, some way.
You know, good doctors, good genes, and all that. I'm stealing this from Bo Bishop. We're going to do a Mount Rushmore of Stallone movies on tomorrow's program. So I'll tease what was Bo's idea.
I just had a little Rambo 3 on the TV the other night.
They're all pretty undefeated. Yeah, the Rambo ones are. The Rockies, you can miss a few.
Yeah, you can do that. I got G League start, or Summer League starting for NBA, right? So Darren Peterson, number 2 pick out of Kansas last night, kind of went off. I saw my guy Jacob Reimer tweeting about it. Like, he's playing a different game than everybody else out on the court right now. Had 18 in the second half, I think. So, you know, just a little nod to Darren Peterson getting out there as a youngster. I think he played, 1 year at Kansas? Maybe reclassified to get into that year. So he's probably, 18, 19 years old out there beating up Summer League right now.
Those highlights look different for sure. First thing for me, 30 years ago today, it might be the greatest moment in sports entertainment history. It was definitely the greatest swerve all time. The Bash at the Beach. Hulk Hogan came out, and he didn't help WCW. The NWO was formed, and it probably shaped Monday nights for the next 2 years of my life with the Monday Night Wars.
Whose side's he on? What do you mean, whose side's he on?
The only person that knew, the greatest manager of all time, Bobby the Brain Heenan. He knew Hogan was a traitor.
Probably. What a heel turn. I'll make this my second thing. The most consequential wrestling event ever was 96's Bash at the Beach, for what it meant, not only for the NWO, the Monday Night Wars, but for being a hero and a villain in professional wrestling. It's pretty undefeated. Nothing will ever top that, in my opinion.
No, they won't. This might have topped it, though. A 17-year-old record in the 200-meter butterfly women's went down. So a long-standing record. Summer McIntosh out of, I think she's Canadian, threw that down. My niece is a swimmer, so I'm kind of into that.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. 17 years, though. I mean, that's a heck of a record to beat.
I don't think we're going to have time for three, so I'll just go ahead and say this. Rothman and Ice are coming up next. JP in again for AR. They've got Jim Lachey coming on at 12:30, and then Tyvis Powell at 1:30. One of those, a great Buckeye. Yeah, the other one.
The other Tyvis Powell. Justin, it was good for me. Hope it was good for you. We are back tomorrow. Uncle Bo is back from vacation. Bishop and Friends, 9 to noon, right here on the...
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
At Northwest Bank, we're here for what's next. The next bucket list trip. The next home renovation, or the next milestone celebration. Right now, earn 4.0% annual percentage yield with a new high-yield performance savings account. Opening an account online takes just minutes. Go to northwest.com/performance to get started today. And visit a new financial center opening in your neighborhood soon. Member FDIC. Northwest Bank. For what's next.